begin again.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
One big concern about these controversial costumes, a study by the American Psychological Association that shows the early objectification of girls can be linked to depression, low self-esteem, and eating disorders. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm not sure I do.
But the same study also shows parents can be the best positive and protective role models. I was just so taken aback by some of the pictures I saw there. You tell me what that word is and see if that rolls off your tongue at 11 o'clock at night.
That's one good reason you got to read this stuff before you do it. I'm telling you, that's what you got to do. All right.
I don't really know him, but he just seems like a dick to me.
We also need to be affectionate, and you can see that with Barack and Michelle as well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting.
What?
And now.
What the hell is going on here?
Our feature presentation.
What was that? What?
How do we know that? Dude, wouldn't that we need to be somewhere where they didn't know we were?
When did we get those details?
Let me hear that. Hold on. Let me hear that again, because that can't be right.
We also need to be affectionate, and you can see that with Barack and Michelle as well. They do a lot of touching, kissing, even fisting.
Wow. That I knew he was the first at a lot of things with the presidents, but come on.
You never could tell by just looking at them.
You really couldn't.
You don't know what goes on between two people in the privacy of their bedroom.
It's going to be sweet. Super sweet. Sweet, 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 sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah, I'll say.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, then.
That's some information right there to start the show off with.
If that had come out before the election, I don't know what would have happened.
Would you? A lot of people would be uncomfortable with that.
Yeah.
Would you guess that she was talking about that fist bump thing that they were doing that was the Fistgate 2008 or whatever?
Thinking maybe.
100%, yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
That sure shows affection.
It does. By the way, that's how you know someone loves you.
So if she says no to that,
yes,
she doesn't love you?
That's
is that
correct.
What
they mean? Apparently.
We are going to take your calls for the Kevin and Bean Thursday morning edition of What It Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. This is where you pick up the phone and call. And by the way, some lines are open this morning if you want to get in. You can call and talk about any topic. You get on the air, you get a prize. And this half hour, very exciting. Also, Ralph will have Oscar nominations for you.
Ah.
They're being unveiled as we speak, so we'll have that coming up before 6 o'clock as well.
Just before we take the calls, while people are calling, I just want to make sure that I understand exactly what's going on.
See, we did crash.
Did crash.
It was on this crazy island.
Okay.
And we waited for rescue, and there wasn't a rescue. And then there was a smoke monster.
Okay.
And then there were other people on the island. We called them the others, and they started attacking us.
Okay.
And we found some hatches, and there was a button you had to push every 180 minutes or...
Yeah.
Well, I was never really clear on that. But
right.
The others didn't have anything to do with the hatches. That was the Dharma Initiative. They were all dead. The others killed them. And now they're trying to kill us. And then we teamed up with the others because some worse people were coming on a freighter. Desmond's girlfriend's father sent them to kill us. So we stole their helicopter and we flew it to their freighter, but it blew up. And we couldn't go back to the island because it disappeared. So then we crashed into the ocean. And we floated there for a while until a boat came and picked us up. And by then, there were six of us. That part was true.
Okay. I think I'm clear.
I last night understood why, A, why people hate Lost. I get that. And B, why of all the shows that you've ever heard, it's impossible to jump in late. This is the one that means
yeah.
it. Because there's so much stuff that happens that if you have not only watched the show, but really paid attention to the show... It escapes you. It just passes you by. It doesn't mean anything.
Oh, it wouldn't. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Even in the second season, jumping in.
I loved it.
Hard.
I loved it. But I need some clarification.
You didn't understand it, though,
I mean,
right?
It was timeline whiplash. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
It certainly was. I mean, you know, like the one scene, for instance, I'm thinking of is, you know, when Locke sees the plane go by, which Jorge Garcia told us there was another plane crash last night, and sure enough there was, and it was the drug plane that we have always seen that has been crashed on the island for years, and Locke sees it goes by and then finds one of the Virgin Marys stuffed with drugs. Now, unless you had watched that show before, you see him pick that thing up out of the grass, you have no idea what that means.
Right. Right.
You know, or what that plane is all about.
Yeah.
And, you know, seeing the van that we saw them, you know,
sure.
put back into service back in season one, seeing it as a new van last night on the show. I mean, all those details that you're supposed to kind of connect and keep track of, you need an expert. You need a support group.
Yeah.
You need, an internet chat room. You need conference calls. You need a bulletin. You need telegrams.
This was my whole response last night was I could summarize, I think, by saying this. So, wait. That's it.
But wait. But didn't,
you're saying.
Yeah. Well. We got us an expert today, so that'll help because we can at least get some of the big questions out of the mind. Like, I don't really even remember why it is they all have to go back to the island to stop what from happening or to make what happen.
Wasn't it that the others would die if they
didn't? That's what he said, but I don't remember how or why either.
Yeah.
So look,
since the middle of last season.
Yeah, me too. I missed some at the end.
Yeah.
So I
you're really honked up.
I'm really honked up.
I just stepped off and stayed off.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't watch it last night?
I did not.
Oh, I was fascinated by it. I thought it was good, but I just didn't know what it was.
You're like Michael Quisha. You tell me what happened.
All right.
How did Locke die?
He died because he had to be so others could live.
But who killed him?
I don't know.
What happened to him?
I listen.
And is he? If he goes back to the island, will he come back to life?
I hope you're not coming to me for answers.
I just don't know.
There are people right now in their cars screaming at us because they know these answers.
Probably like, so obvious and we're stupid.
Probably. Yeah. We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. That or any other topic.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Tell you one thing that is shocking, though, is that, no joke, Hurley is fatter than he's ever been.
And I thought stole the show as far as acting.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Good for him.
He was amazing.
Well, it was his episode,
it was.
Too. And he sure loves shih tzus. All
right. He does. That's true.
1-800-520-1067. Get in the air. Get a prize. How about a pair of tickets to the NHRA Winter Nationals coming up on Sunday, February 8th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. Who goes first today?
All right. Let's begin with Junior in Colton. Good morning, Junior.
Good morning, guys. What it do, nephew? What's up, baby? Boom.
What it do, Junior?
What's going on?
All right. Turn on the news first thing, 4:30 this morning, and the top of the news story is Storm Track 2009.
Yeah.
Well, sure, because it's going to rain a little bit.
Yeah.
That storm last night, by the way, you guys.
Does that irritate the rest of Southern California that the top of the news?
Yeah.
Story is
I love
going to get some rain.
I got to be honest with you. I don't go to Channel 4 News for news. So I love it. I think it's ridiculous how they overplay it, and it is entertaining for hours for me.
And they really do. They overplay it, and I'll tell you this. My sister is from California. She moved to Chicago, and when does she have to wait for her weather? When the weather guy comes on.
Oh, in Chicago, is that right?
She has to wait the full 45 minutes, and it's irritating to her, because she's like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I have to wait the whole hour until I get the weather.
No, they lead with it here.
Yeah, they sure do.
And yet, last night, no weather.
Not much of a weather pattern at all.
I guess they feel like, look, a certain amount of stories that we do are not going to be of interest to all of the audience. They're going to be, you know, some people will be interested in some stories, but the weather is something that is relatable to every single person, and that's why we can hook you with it, because everyone cares.
Right, but in Chicago, where they have weather.
Yes.
Exactly.
You would think they would do that, and they don't.
Yeah.
So if it's going
to
be.
We need to know when they send reporters to Orange County, San Bernardino County, Riverside County.
Very.
Oh, they blanket the Southland because, you know, none of us know what rain is like, so we need to know what it's like in other communities.
What did it feel like to you, little 4-year-old? That's the news.
Junior, an excellent observation. We couldn't agree with you more. Thank you for the call. Hang on for your prize.
All right. Let's go to John in Los Angeles. Good morning, John.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do, John?
Hey, I was just calling because I got, like, you know, like everybody yesterday or the day after the inauguration, I got inundated with text messages. A little racy, but, I mean, definitely hilarious. I mean, been getting them for probably the last, you know, couple of weeks, you know, before. But I think the ones that I've been getting from yesterday were probably the most hilarious so far about Obama.
You're talking about jokes? Like off-color jokes and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very.
Oh, why the joke's got to be off color, Kevin?
What, John?
Well, basically it says, I don't know if your TV is showing the same thing as mine. I don't know if your TV's broke.
Yeah, that's...
Does that really
all the,
that
all
funny?
All the channels are showing the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that's not that funny. Thank you, John.
You got to trade in some of those friends, dude.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Robert in Los Angeles. Good morning, Robert.
Get some people in your life with a little more discerning sense of humor, I think, is what John needs.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hello.
The other day I was listening to PMS. I actually heard you guys that same morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that Psycho Mike and Petros Papadakis were using the same word, bitch made.
Really?
And I wanted to know if Mike, when he woke up that morning, rolled over and tapped Petros on the ass and said, hey, maybe we should bring back Bitch Man. And Petros says, that's great. That sounds like a great idea. And maybe they just did it, you know?
So. I think that's pretty accurate.
Alrighty.
And it's not the first time Mike has tapped Petros on the ass, if you know what I'm saying.
That's correct.
I know what you're saying.
Thanks for the call.
You guys are you're lovers, right, Mike? You and P?
Yes. He's Greek. Okay. I mean, it's his job. Greek style.
Okay.
All right.
Well, you make a cute couple.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we? It's Thursday morning. We are going to talk to the TV guy.
Hey, Thursday what? I'm sorry? It's Thursday the
Thursday what? Morning, the 22nd of January.
Can you do that, or do you have more questions about my vagina?
Must read the date.
I'm not going to make it, I don't think. But so far in January, there's been a different vagina every day, and I'm very proud of that.
All right. Well,
I'm very proud
combing
of you, too.
I'm combing the vagina archives to bring you the freshest vagina updates every morning at this time.
Okay. Well, if you're doing that much work, the least I can do is say the date.
Exactly.
TV Guide West Coast editor Maggie Furlong will be on to tell us what we saw on Lost.
Okay.
Hopefully. She'll be able to clear it up. I have many questions.
Just because she works for TV Guide, why does that mean that she'll figure it out?
I'm just hoping.
Okay.
I don't have any idea. I'm just hoping. Bean is going to apply for the world's greatest job.
Bean is going to get the world's greatest job. It's mine.
Bean would be great at that job.
Thank
you.
Thank you.
I think so.
It looks like it's a lot of work, you know?
No.
But it's the kind of work he likes. It's like blogging, taking
doing interviews
pictures.
On the phone from the beach. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Mostly being alone.
Well, that's true. That is true.
I think it'd be perfect for
me. Your friend's mom hit on you. What do you do? The answer?
Clearly, this isn't even a question for you guys.
I mean, we're not even going to tease you with it. You hit it.
You don't even want details.
You hit it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the answer.
Well, I think we're going to discuss if it makes a difference how close the friend is, how hot the mom is, how likely you are to get away with it. I mean, I think there are some questions that need to be answered.
And all of those answers are, it doesn't matter.
Let's do it. Is she hot? Hit it.
And highlights of American Idol last night. Is that, did the chipmunks try out?
Sure sounds like it.
What the hell? And we'll continue to qualify you for K-Rock's World Tour 2009. Destination number one is U2 in London. And you'll win the brand new CD and get on the standby boarding list. And on Monday morning, we're going to call an answer, and that person will be able to go to London and see U2.
Cool.
So that's coming up. Ralph's next with the show.
Ralph Garman joins us in studio now on K-Rock. Big day for fans of the movies, huh?
Big day. Big.
What do you say?
It's big.
Big day?
It's big day.
All right.
Just moments ago, Forrest Whitaker stood at the podium there at the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences and announced the Oscar nominations, the big ones at least, for the 81st Annual Oscar Awards, which will be telecast on ABC on February the 22nd. Some surprises.
Yeah.
And some, yeah. It happened 8 seconds ago. Bean's memorized the list. He's got him tattooed on his inner lip.
He should have known that. They texted him last night with him.
Done. He's got it. Done.
I'm excited to discuss.
Let's take a look at Best Supporting Actress, shall we? Amy Adams for her role in Doubt.
She's great.
A honked up nun.
She was fantastic in that.
Penelope Cruz for Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Ooh.
Hot.
Viola Davis also turned in a tour de force performance in Doubt. She is nominated as well. Marissa Tomei, as expected, for her performance in The Wrestler. And Tara Jip Henson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Ooh. I haven't seen that. Is she hot?
I do not know Tara Jip.
She was his mom. She played.
Oh, there you go.
She was the older black lady. Yeah.
Prostitute in Hustle and Flow. That's where you probably best know her.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Whores. Best Supporting Actor, Josh Brolin for his role in Milk. Bad dude, that guy.
Yeah.
He killed Milk.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. for his performance in Tropic Thunder.
What?
No kidding.
Best Supporting Actor nomination for the dude disguised as a dude playing another dude.
He was great in that, but I thought he would get nominated for, Best Actor for Iron Man.
Iron Man? Yeah. No such luck for him.
How about that?
Philip Seymour Hoffman for his role in Doubt. I find it hard-pressed to call him a supporting actor in that role, but that's how they pitched him, and that's how he got his award. Michael Shannon for his role in Revolutionary Road. This was an actor who had a lot of buzz, a lot of talk about a possible Oscar nomination, but people thinking it was a long shot because he was best known as a theater actor. Comes out of the Steppenwolf Theater in Chicago, and people said he deserves it, but probably won't get it. So surprises a lot of people this morning by getting it. And Heath Ledger, as expected, for his role in The Joker in The Dark Knight. Best Actress, Anne Hathaway. Ooh. Rachel Getting Married. She got her performance.
She was great in that. That's a
noticed.
Really see that.
No Best Supporting Actress, by the way. Kate Winslet.
She didn't get nominated?
They were expecting her for Actress and Best Supporting Actress for her roles in The Reader and in Revolutionary Road. But she did not get her nod for Revolutionary Road for Best Supporting Actress. So, interesting.
Which is really a surprise because, you know, she's been so often nominated by the Oscars. I mean, clearly they appreciate her work.
Yes. However, she did pick up a Best Actress nomination for The Reader. So she is nominated at least in one category this year. Angelina Jolie, nominated for her performance in The Changeling. Meryl Streep, for her work in Doubt. There was no doubt that she'd be nominated.
Oh, no!
Oh, no!
Yeah!
Oh, no!
Yeah!
That's magic.
I'm sorry, what?
And Melissa Leo, finally, Melissa Leo getting nominated for Frozen River.
What? I've never heard of her or that.
What?
She had a ton of buzz a few months ago, and then it just kind of evaporated because the movie had been out so long.
Apparently did not evaporate.
What's Frozen River?
It totally evaporated.
Never heard of that.
It was full of vapor this morning.
It was out in the summer. Did you see it, Lisa? It's
no.
The movie about that woman up in upstate New York who's trying to, like, she's super poor, and she's trying to support her family. And
isn't there something they're working with Indians,
there's a river between...
It's cold.
Quebec... The province of Quebec and the Indian province, apparently across the river, and there are two mothers who have to go through some ordeal together. One is a Mohawk and one is a Caucasian girl.
I think there's a murder or something.
I don't know. It's a cold river. That's all.
Apparently she's phenomenal.
It's cold enough to walk on.
Yeah, that's cold.
Melissa Leo, nominated for Best Actress. Best Actor nominations. Another long shot comes in. Richard Jenkins for his role in The Visitor.
Oh, that's great.
A much ballyhooed performance, but people thought because he is not as well known as some of the other possible candidates, he wouldn't get the nod, but he did. Frank Langella, a well-earned nomination for his role as Richard Nixon in Frost Nixon. Sean Penn, as expected, nominated for his performance as Harvey Milk in Milk. Brad Pitt, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. No surprise there. And... it came through for Mickey Rourke, his nomination for The Wrestler.
Oh, good for him.
Nominated for Best Actor. And lastly, I mean, there's a lot of nominations, but we'll just give you the big ones. Best Picture nominations this year. Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and, of course, Slumdog Millionaire is expected by many to be nominated. Has been nominated for an Oscar. So there are the big ones.
Why does Kevin hate Benjamin Button so much, Ralph?
Boring.
It's a very long, slow, thoughtful film, and I can't remember anything blowing up during any of it. And
Mall cop?
Benjamin Button does not ride on a Segway.
Oh,
nor does he try to slide behind a big column.
Here's what they did. They said this is an amazing story because he's growing younger and everybody else is growing older. And then they said that again. And then they had another scene that said that. And then they said it again.
Yeah, but it's about what happens when he's in those stages more than it is him being in that stage. It's about how he experiences life and what about the losses and the gains you get in the course of a lifetime, I think, is what really the focus of the film was.
I don't understand it. It's like saying, Cinderella Man, he boxed.
And then he boxed again. And then he got in the ring and boxed again. What the hell?
He's boxing.
What's with all the boxing?
They repeated the same scene 200 times. That was that movie.
It got 13 Oscar nominations this morning, by the way, Kevin.
Not a good film, though.
People can be wrong.
Yeah, true.
Not
they
me,
are,
but
not
other
you,
people.
Of course, but other people. We want to talk about wrong. Let's talk about this new list from AskMen.com, the men's website that handles all things man.
Okay.
Ralph, I'm sorry. Was WALL-E nominated for Best Picture?
No.
Pay the man, Dave! You bitch!
WALL-E's going to be nominated. WALL-E's going to be nominated for Best Picture. I'm telling you, it's the best movie ever, and it's the best movie of the year, and it will be nominated for Best Picture.
And then Ralph said, there's a
said,
animated
douchebag, there's a Best Animated Film category. I'm sure it'll land in there. No, it'll be both. It'll be in animated and also in non-animated.
Did you see those movies that were nominated for Best Picture?
I saw a few of them.
They suck!
Wally was better than all of them.
Yeah.
No.
Any of them.
Nope.
It's my man.
But if Harvey Milk had been on a spacecraft trying to save Earth, then it would have been not worth nominating.
He would shut up and just follow robots. It would have been awesome.
Dave, do you have to pay Kevin for any sort of Clipper Laker bet from last night as well while you're in here?
No, not
dumb,
he didn't have
heart to bet on him last night.
You're not dumb, but you thought a movie that would already be nominated in Best Animated Feature would be also nominated for Best Feature.
Yes. Yeah. It's the best movie of the year.
It could have been, by the way. I mean, they had that option open to them. It just never happens.
I almost felt bad making that bet.
The only
time it's
ever happened is when Beauty and the Beast was nominated for Best Picture because they had not yet invented the category of Best Animated Picture.
Right.
So once they had that category, Dave, that's where animated movies go.
There are a lot of people like Dave, though, who believe that that's a mistake and they'd like to see that change. And movies like Toy Story come along that a lot of people thought was one of the very
those
best movies of that year.
People are dumb.
Yeah. Oscar people, you blew it.
And
Wally was the best.
Those people tend to get poorer.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
All right, Dave, go away.
All right.
AskMen.com asked their readers to list. This is an interesting list because it isn't hottest chicks. It isn't prettiest chicks.
Okay.
It is the 100 most desirable women.
Hmm. Most
and
desirable.
And the requirements are beauty, but also intelligence, charisma, and ambition.
Wow.
So this is one of those categories where we say, oh, that chick is...
She's got everything.
She's got everything, right. Yeah. She's hot, but she also seems like she's the kind of girl you want to hang out with.
This is why Maria Menounos is my number one chick on TV, because of the reasons you're talking about. Beyond beauty, is everything else is great, too.
Yeah, but that wasn't what we were talking about when we were talking about that.
Right, no, that wasn't what Bean said when he talked about it. He said she was the hottest chick on television.
Right, exactly. Those are the types of things that make a woman hot, though, to me. But let's
shut
hear
up.
Let's
that's
hear
not
who
what
Ash Man is talking
that's
about.
That's what desirable is, but it's not hot. Okay. Hot is what hot is. Hot is clearly defined.
You're splitting hairs.
No, let's hear what they say. Hot is hot. It's its own category. It's like animated film and best film. It's a category for hot.
There are women who are incredibly hot, but they're so stupid or so annoying that they become less hot because you can't feel that way about them because you hate them.
How did you watch Evangeline Lilly for 3 hours last night and not know she blows Maria Menounos out of the water when it comes to hot?
Not even close.
Good
not
point.
Even close.
You're hot.
She was so hot last
way
night.
Hot.
She
way
hot.
Way hot. She had dirt all over her face. That was good.
All right, here's your top 10 most desirable women.
All right.
Okay. This is like the chick you'd want to be your wife, your mate.
Okay.
Because she's got everything, okay? Number 10, Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Number 9, Kristen Bell.
Oh,
makes it on the list.
Definitely.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's personality plus. Yeah,
man. Kristen Bell will be nominated for Best Animated Actress. 8, Rihanna.
Nope.
Nope.com for you and Rihanna.
Nope.com for me.
She's super pretty. She's got, you know, she's talented.
Tons of talent.
She comes up
ambition, charisma.
Lot, especially in interviews and stuff. I don't find that charisma, but that's just me. Sorry.
7, Scarlett Johansson. You know, ScarJo's got to show up.
Sure.
If she doesn't talk.
Fine.
Number 6, Alessandra Ambrosio.
There we go.
Should be number 1, but go ahead.
Number 5, Anne Hathaway. Men all over finding her very desirable. Not Kevin.
No.
You think she should have been in Benjamin Button?
Well, she could eat. I mean, I gotta be honest.
You know, she said in a recent interview she's lost a bunch of weight. She's been working out and dieting and stuff, and she's gone down 2 cup sizes in her bra.
That's what I'm saying.
Unacceptable.
That's the wrong direction.
Unacceptable. Yeah. Have a sandwich. Number 4, Keeley Hazel.
Sure. There it
is. British model and actress who is just incredible.
She's Victoria's Secret, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she? I didn't even know that.
Oh, no.
I thought she had done some Victoria's Secret work.
I don't think
I've
so.
I've only seen her butt naked. Or
yeah, she does a lot of nude modeling.
That,
you know?
Page, is it page 6, Ralph? Or what is it?
She's
page 3.
Page 3 she's girl. A little big for a Victoria's Secret girl, but she wears it well.
She does.
Number 3, Marissa Miller.
There it is.
Not a great face, but
a good
face.
Yeah,
not starting that again.
Number 2, Megan Fox. Comes in at number 2. I'm guessing this is pre-Golden Globes red carpet interview.
Pre-opened her mouth that night.
And number 1 on the list.
Well, are you ready for the big one?
That's what she's...
Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, most desirable woman, Rosie O'Donnell.
Rosie Perez.
Yes, also tied with
Rosie
O'Donnell.
The nosy neighbor.
Yes, Rosie the nosy neighbor.
Rosie
from
the
R. Kelly song, Trapped in the Closet. Yes, she also. Rosie River, 4-way tie. Yes.
Charlize?
No, Eva Mendes, Lisa. Eva Mendes coming in at number 1.
She should be on the list,
Charlize,
but so should Charlize.
She should be number 1 on the freaking list.
I think so. Yeah.
That's why this list is bogus.
Where's the chick in the blue dress from the Carl's Jr. commercial?
Nowhere to be found.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
He's right under Charlize.
I think we really know
what
her.
I'm saying? A lot about right under Charlize. You're fine.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Steve Perry, lead singer of Journey for many years. He is 60 years old today. He is the only American Indian lead singer I can think of, actually.
He's an American Indian?
I don't know. He just looks like one to me. Every time I look at him, I say, this dude looks like an Indian. He does. He's got that long, straight black hair and the big, prominent nose. She'd be on a nickel. That guy should be on a nickel.
Juice Newton, part American Indian?
Wow.
Wow.
Really?
Juice Newton,
really?
Well, I'm sorry.
How did Mike even come up with that?
My favorite cookie, by the way, is Juice Newton. It's a lot less sugar than the Fig Newtons. Linda Blair, you know her. She was possessed by the devil and her head spun around.
Sure.
50 years old today. Diane Lane, she's still a stunning woman. Yeah. 44 years old. Jazzy Jeff, DJ Jazzy Jeff, is 44. Balthazar Getty turns 34. Willa Ford, singer, songwriter, is 28. Actress Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven, she's adorable. She's at 28. And guitarist Ben Moody, formerly of Evanescence, now he's in Effervescence, which I think is a sort of a cover band. He is 28 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I'm just saying, if she read your blog, she would not be impressed and would not hire you.
But the fact that if she read my blog, she would hire me because I would blog about her stuff, though.
Right,
on.
But you would somehow make it not good.
I'm telling you. Look, it's Kevin and Bean show on K-Rock. It's Thursday morning. You always hear about, wow, what a great job that would be. And you even sometimes hear people say, wow, that sounds like the best job. But this really is the best job in the world. I mean, I don't think I'm exaggerating, am I?
They probably not, no. They are calling it the best job in the world. Apparently, it's for an island caretaker in Australia. There's a small island, and you just have to take care of the island. And what you do for about half of the year is just lounge around and enjoy it.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
And then occasionally take a picture.
Uh-huh.
And then blog about how great it is.
It's perfect for Bean.
It is, but...
He can have a computer there, so right. He can watch movies and do all that stuff. But he doesn't need to see people.
But have you read Bean's blog? It wouldn't be about the beauty of the island.
But there are no 7-Elevens where he is.
Why are there no 7-Elevens here?
Well, that would be blog number one. That's a good point.
That's not going to be what she wants.
You're right. I'm rethinking this.
Bean can't promote this to a wide audience. He's going to be going, I saw a twig the other day. What was that?
We are we're getting the representative for this job on the phone right now. We'll be talking to her in a minute and get some of these questions answered. But you do stay rent-free in a multi-million-dollar three-bedroom beach home complete with pool and golf cart. That is part of the job. Yeah. And you just hang out on the island and do the odd interview and blog about how great the Great Barrier Reef is. I mean, that's the extent of the job, people. That's it.
Can you snorkel? I don't see you as a snorkeler.
Absolutely.
I see you going right to the bottom.
I did some snorkeling just last month.
All right.
Yeah, I love snorkeling.
I don't get why, if you're on an island that nobody else is on and you're blogging about how great the island is, why aren't people coming to the great island?
Well, I think there are lots of – my guess is, and I guess we'll ask Ms. Pereira in a second here, but my guess is there are lots of islands. It's an area of the world that they're trying to get tourists to come to, not necessarily the island that you're on.
Hmm.
Now, part of the problem is that they got so much response – I don't know, like 850,000 people checked it out in the first week or something like that. So they took the website down. Sorry, Lisa, I didn't mean to just spray you with whatever it was I sprayed on you.
That wasn't spit.
All right. Let's go to Shana Perrier. Perrier? Perriera?
Shana Pereira.
Yes.
as we were advised before we picked up the phone.
Yeah, I couldn't remember what that was. Hi, Shana.
Shana, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Welcome to America. How are you?
Hello. Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
We're great. Now, first things first, Ms. Pereira, is the job still available?
It absolutely is. Applications for the position of island caretaker close on February 22nd.
Okay.
This is a brand new job, or is this a position that has existed in the past?
No, it's a brand new job. And the reason we have found it so important to open a position like this is that the person will essentially be an island correspondent. So they will experience everything that the islands of the Great Barrier Reef have to offer. And then they will blog and they will submit videos and photos on a weekly basis so that a global audience can see all of the experiences that are unique to the Great Barrier Reef.
Okay. Now tell us about the Great Barrier Reef. We were guessing before you got on the phone that your caretaker will live on this one island, but that there are probably lots of islands around that tourists can come and visit to. Is that so?
That's absolutely right. There's over 600 islands on the Great Barrier Reef and 25 island resorts. So that person, in the six-month contract, will travel to all of the different islands and report back from each one.
Oh, I see.
Now, I read on the news story that we have here from Fox News that you already had 850,000 people who had applied and you already took the website down. Why would you wait till February 22nd to make a decision?
Well, actually, what we had was we've had over 2 million visitors to the website since we launched it last Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
We've had over 8,000 video applications.
Wow.
And I know, and it's fantastic. I think it's really reflective of the fact that people are looking for a great opportunity and they're willing to put themselves out there and really do their best to have a life-changing experience.
Right.
So that's really promising.
I know, but my question is, if you have 8,000 video applications, you're already going to be spending 2 months going through those. Why are you keeping the position open so long?
Well, that was when we first launched, we knew it was going to get great response. Obviously, we didn't expect it to have this much overwhelming response.
Right.
But the great thing about it is that what we're looking at is really finding the right person.
Yeah.
So we're willing to go through all of the applications because it is a very important role. For Tourism Queensland. So, we're very excited to go through 8,000.
Mm. Are you really?
Nope.
Shauna, I know that you have done a number of media interviews on this topic, and I'm sure that at least half the people you speak with say, me, this job is for me. But the truth is, this really is my job. I mean, you might as well just shut down the website now because I want it. Why don't you describe for me what this person is going to be like, this person that you end up selecting, what are the criteria that you are looking for?
Well, the criteria is that they have to be over 18 years old.
Yes. Done.
They've got to be able to swim because it's the Great Barrier Reef and natural
That's
wonder
me.
Of the world. So, of course, you need to be able to swim.
Okay.
Two for two.
You also need to be able to speak English and be articulate, be creative, be dynamic.
Mm.
And it's really about being someone that people want to hear from.
Oh, well.
Thanks
for your time. Bye-bye now.
I do a radio show. I can fake all of those things. People will think I'm an interesting and dynamic person when they hear me on the phone.
No.
Not possible. All right. So far, so good. All right.
And, really, it's because the reason this position is so important to us is because travelers these days, they want to hear from another traveler about where their last, vacation was, what they liked about it. They more so make their decisions from other people, their neighbors, peers, about where they're going to go on vacation next. So that's why the position is so important to us.
Is snorkeling enough, or do you have to scuba dive as well? Because I would think if it's the Great Barrier Reef, you would need to scuba dive.
Yeah.
You would need to scuba dive.
All right. Well, thanks for your time.
It.
Bye-bye now.
No, I love it.
I don't scuba dive.
I don't, but I certainly can. I have done it in the past, and I would love to do more of it. I'm moving to Australia.
Let me ask you one more qualifying question.
Yes.
Are you looking for somebody who can take your beautiful islands and blog about them in a super, super boring, uninterested way?
Oh, how dare you?
No, otherwise I would apply.
You're not looking for that. All right. Thanks for your time. Bye-bye now.
Look at this.
Thank you so much. Feeding
turtles, watching whales. Look at the stuff you do throughout the day, Kevin. This is so perfect for me. All right. I'm going to be down there, and I'm going to be down there soon, Shauna. And what's the website address for others who may want to apply, even though you've already given me the job?
Great. It's islandreefjob.com.
Islandreefjob.com. All right. Good luck with that.
let
us know who you choose.
We absolutely will keep you updated.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Shauna.
Bye.
Talk to you soon, boss.
That is so not for you.
Is that the best job in the world, you
guys?
Yeah,
but you could never do it.
Why, though?
Because you wouldn't talk about anything anyone wants to read.
Of course you would.
Make that boring.
Of course I would. I'm so moving to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so doing interviews with every station in America except for yours. We may need your help finding the chick in the blue dress from the Carl's Jr. commercial, by the way. Ralph will talk of nothing else. And we'll tell you what we know in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. First, though, I think we got a little bit more fallout of all the conversation over Tuesday's inauguration of President Barack Obama, huh?
Well, Larry King is super old and bad and has Alzheimer's and has no idea what he's talking about anymore. He's a guy who, for the first 112 years of his life, did a radio show overnight, all night long,
took calls, and now he's been on CNN for the second half of his life for the last 112 years.
But isn't he, I mean, I understand and I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but Larry's a guy who was there when George Washington was sworn in. So he does have some perspective on presidents. I mean, if you want a guy to talk about the history of America, he lived it.
So here's Larry in a very distorted clip, so hopefully you'll be able to hear what he says. But he's talking about Barack Obama and what an amazing day it was.
There's total faith in him, and I hope, as I've asked people, I hope we are built here by great expectations.
It sounds like a robotic Larry King.
It does.
Where you almost can't meet what people are expecting. You know that his latest popularity rating is 87%, and he hasn't taken office yet. I can't believe it. Well, in 10 years, we'll have a, what, lesbian?
I hope so.
What? Well, now that we have a black guy, now we're going to have a lesbian next? What's he talking about?
I don't know. That's why I love him. Let's ask him. We got him on the phone. Hey, Larry.
Los Angeles, hello.
How are you?
What's your question?
You're on our show, Larry.
What?
You're on our show.
Who is this?
Kevin and Bean.
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean, how are you?
We are good.
Good. Our question is, just because we now have an African-American in the White House, does that automatically mean that we're going to start checking off other non-white males to take
Absolutely.
The job?
Absolutely.
That's what you're saying?
Absolutely. What's next in 10 years? A lesbian president?
Well, I mean, I would imagine if the lesbian is the right person, yes.
Then what happens in 11 years?
Same. It'll still be the lesbian president.
Oh.
Because they serve a term longer than a year.
Same thing.
All right. What's the next one then?
They're there for 4 years.
All right. So 14 years from now.
Right.
A president with no tongue.
What?
What are you talking about?
A mute
what?
President. Has to write everything down.
That's not likely.
I passed this bill. All right. Signed, President Tongueless.
Why?
That'd be that State of the Union address.
Larry White, you're probably, you've been around for a lot of the struggles between black and white. I don't know why, though, that we have a black president now, you would go right to lesbian. What does that mean?
It means anything can happen now.
Like the floodgates have opened?
Oh, all hell's breaking loose.
But Larry, it wasn't
just... First a black, then a lesbian, then a guy with no tongue, then a midget president.
That would be awesome.
Tiny president.
By the way, that would be good.
President like Tiny.
Larry, I think the important...
Tiny McShort legs.
Larry, I think the important thing is not that he's a black guy, but that he's the right guy.
Then a president with forearms.
Well, you're just making up categories now. That person doesn't exist, Larry.
President Quattro Arm.
Although he could get a lot done.
He would if he could sign four bills at once.
That's right.
If he was ambidextrous or quaddextrous.
Do you even really know what's going on anymore, Larry? Because the sense we get is they just prop you up, put the suspenders on you, and put you in front of the CNN mics every night.
That in 20 years, a president with his colon on the outside of his body.
What are you doing? That's not even possible.
President Smelly Poop would be his name.
This isn't a freak show that we're
terrific.
Running here.
Terrific.
All right, Larry. Maybe you should speak a little less on this topic.
Then in 30 years, a president with two heads.
Two-head president?
Yeah. President Doublehead.
Okay.
That's what I'd call him.
All right, Larry.
Los Angeles, hello.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 7 o'clock.
Who are you? Who are you? An appropriate song leading into this next conversation.
Congratulations to our U2 CD winner, Stephanie Cicero from North Hollywood. She's also in the drawing we're going to do Monday to send somebody to London to see the band. So that's coming up.
What are you talking about, Ralph? What do you mean, who are you?
Who are you? Who are you, devil in a blue dress that taunts my dreams?
Are you talking about the Carl's
Jr.? That haunts me day and night. With your voluptuous lips and your hunger for steak, who are you?
You got some steak for her, don't you? We've been talking about this actress, Tamara Brown, for the last few days because Ralph came in after the weekend, and I guess you saw it a bunch during football or something. But
yeah, they play it heavily during football.
They do play a lot. And you have been quite taken by this young lady, it sounds like.
So not what's happening.
Huh?
You've been taken with her.
Have you been taken with her?
I believe you would have taken her to the cotillion. Perhaps visit her at the debutante ball. It's not like that. It's an obsession.
How would you describe it, Ralph? If you were, say, this century, how would you describe it?
It was it's an all-consuming, fiery passion.
Okay.
I need to know her. I need to know who she is, what she's about, what her hopes and dreams and aspirations are. I need to own her.
I'm sorry.
Isn't she
did you say
a model?
Her?
Yes.
She's a model slash actress. You've probably been to her IMDb. You know as much about her as to know for the public.
Not enough. Just the cold, pristine facts of IMDb. It's not enough. I need to know her inside and out. I need to know who she is, what drives her, what does she think about when she wakes up in the morning, what does she think about before she puts her head down on the cool linen pillow at night.
Those of you that don't have any idea what we're talking about, it's the Carl Jr. commercial where there's a dude sitting in ratty clothes on the couch, and then she walks in that
blue
dress.
Playing a video game, ignoring her, basically.
And then this happens.
Hey.
Wow. You look really nice.
Thanks. Aren't you getting ready?
What do you mean?
I thought you said we were going out for a steak dinner.
We are.
See, and then it turns into a commercial for a steak sandwich for Carl's Jr.
She's confused because he's a loser and does not deserve her. I love
he
that.
He is abusing
play it again.
Her.
Play it again. Listen to what she says. Thanks. I love how she says that.
You love how she says that word?
Thanks.
Hey.
Wow. You look really nice.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Aren't you getting ready?
What?
So cute how she says thanks.
Oh, dear God.
Wow. Every word that comes out of her mouth, it's like a song from a band of angels on high.
You're starting to scare me now.
There has to be somebody out there who knows Tamara Brown. I mean, she's a model and actress in this town. There are lots of people who work in those businesses that have to have contact with her, and she might have friends that even listen to the show. People that know her.
I need to know what she's like. I need to know who she is, where she comes from, where she's going. Where she lives.
No.
What's the passcode, the security gate at her apartment complex? I need to know these things.
I'm guessing they're not going to want you to have that.
Well, let's find out. Let's not give up the dream before we do a little investigation, Kevin.
Hey.
Wow. You look really nice.
Thanks.
Does Mrs. Garman share your enthusiasm for this actress?
She doesn't share my enthusiasm as much as roll her eyes in disgust at my enthusiasm.
Thanks.
Oh, listen to that. You know, she says that. That's what she says afterwards. You know what I'm saying?
No.
What's the other commercial? I have not seen the other one you're talking about, which you say is a prequel to this one where the loser doesn't get up to take her out for dinner.
See, she shows up in the blue dress at this part of the story, but apparently the apartment that that video playing dude lives in has to be moved. So Ben goes down to the basement of the apartment complex and moves this giant wheel.
No, that's Lost.
And then it skips back in the timeline.
That's Lost.
And we get to have a flashback where we see her preparing.
We're talking about the commercial.
To go out to the steak dinner, and she's trying on a series of different outfits because she wants to find just the right outfit to go to the steak dinner in.
Okay, good.
And so you see her looking in the mirror, changing her clothes, sometimes just in sort of a scanty bra and shirt while she's trying on different combinations of wonderful, casual yet tasteful wear.
Thanks.
And then when she finds the perfect blue dress, she shows up in all her blonde glory at that loser's apartment. And he does not take her to a steak dinner. He's going to give her a steak sandwich from Carl's Jr., which, don't get me wrong, I love those steak sandwiches. But
steak sandwich
given
pants,
the vision that she is on that evening, he should she should rent a helicopter and fly her to Mastro's in Beverly Hills and then cut the food up. You should cut the steak up for her, pre-chew it, and then slip it into her mouth.
What a baby bird.
I am waxing rhapsodic.
I have breaking news.
Alex, men are talking about women here, okay? What are you doing?
You have nothing to contribute.
Fine, then I won't talk about who's coming in tomorrow at 7:30.
Someone who knows Tamara Brown, I hope.
I won't talk about Tamara Brown coming in studio tomorrow.
No!
You lie. You sit on a throne of lies.
I only did this so Rob would shut up.
Yeah, I know.
This is a confirmed deal. This is the real deal.
Yes. Really?
She's coming into the studio?
Yes. Ralph has not been this obsessed with anything since the Women of Mad Men. So I immediately was like,
you never
got
on the show,
this.
By the way. Thanks.
How did you find her? How did you find her?
Well, we talked to the lovely CEO, Andy, yesterday.
Right, from Carl's Jr.
Turns out when you're the CEO, you have hot chicks' phone numbers. And so he helped hook it up. So Tamara Brown is coming in Tamara at 7:30.
Oh,
you're
welcome. You can't clap for yourself.
Yes, we can.
It's bogus.
But she's also coming in with steak sandwiches. That's right.
Wow.
So will you shut the F up?
I want her to eat a steak sandwich off my lap.
Thanks.
Are you going to wear a suit? Are you going to wear a
suit?
Tux?
I'm going to wear a suit and a tux.
Both?
And a dress. and a kilt.
But you're going to run her off. She's going to be very afraid.
No, she won't be afraid.
She's going to be afraid.
She will be worshipped the way a goddess should be worshipped.
Alex, Thanks. Have you talked to her? Is she nice?
I have not talked to her. I've talked to her people.
Don't you talk to her. Don't you talk to her.
Don't, I don't want you to talk to her.
No, I know. That's what you're
saying. I will do the talking when she walks in here.
When Bean gets obsessed.
Yes.
When she walks in here, it's going to be like Lois last night. It's going to be a flash of bright light and an ear-piercing sound, and we're just going to be transported to another time and place.
We'll handle the interview tomorrow.
Will you handle the interview? I doubt that seriously.
What's in your coffee, Kevin?
We will handle it. As many models.
I meant to say we'll handle it.
Tomorrow, yes. Maybe All you should right, leave so, the talking to some other buddy.
Big day tomorrow, riveting radio as we interview an actress from a TV commercial.
Hey, screw you with your bad attitude. You know what? You can easily be dropped from the island when Ben hits the magic wheel and you pop off into outer space, mister.
What time tomorrow, Alex, will the lovely Tamara Brown be here?
7:30.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
7:30.
Tomorrow.
8:30.
Right.
7:30, 8:30.
9:30,
afternoon
10:30.
Show.
No.
And then starting Stryker. Monday, traffic, I guess.
Hosting
traffic.
No, news.
Show.
She's doing news.
News.
Oh, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Thanks.
All right, so Locke is dead. Locke is not dead.
He's dead.
He's dead.
Yes.
Okay. Not dead.
He is he's Jeremy Statham or whatever his name is. He's at the funeral parlor and they've got his body because they have to take his body back to the island.
All right, so the butcher has to take care of him and keep him safe so that he can come back to life.
Got to put him on ice, I guess. You don't want him to spoil.
I'm so confused.
They're going to put him in the meat locker and hold on to him until Ben can rally the Oceanic Six and get everybody back to the island.
And they have to do that so the island can come back?
No, so everyone that's on the island can survive.
Maggie Furlong is the name of the TV Guide West Coast editor who apparently is some sort of Lost expert. And we'll be talking to her after news at 7 and get at least some of our questions answered about last night's return of Lost.
I don't remember how Locke was killed. And I haven't told us yet.
Well, how am I supposed to know what they've told us? Yes.
Well,
yes,
watch the show.
Ralph, this is Gene Simmons.
Hey, Gene Simmons, what's up? How are
you? You mentioned throwing the meat in the locker.
I did, yeah.
At least I'd like to throw my meat in your locker if possible.
All right, that's not even trying. It's 6:56 Thursday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Academy Award nominations out this morning. Ralph has that and all the other showbiz news coming up right now.
Gene, Lisa's meat locker is already filled with sausage. I'm sorry, there's no more room for you there.
No room for you.
If you have like a flank steak or something, you could squeeze it in, but other than that. I'm going to get to the Oscar nominations. This is the biggest story in Hollywood. Okay. But I want to make sure I get to this other story first, so I'm going to do it first, and then I will give you your Oscar nominations, okay?
All right.
This comes from The Star. Are you familiar with Stephanie Pratt, Spencer Pratt's sister?
Yes. From The Hills, yes.
Yes. Apparently she's been dumped by her boyfriend, Cameron Houston.
Okay.
Cameron Houston?
Yes.
How is he not on Gossip Girl?
He's an aspiring actor who appeared briefly on The Hills.
Okay.
Well, Spencer spotted Cameron. Spencer Pratt spotted him at Coco DeVille, the West Hollywood bar, on January the 17th. After 10 minutes of shouting at each other, according to Star, Spencer lost it and smashed Cameron Houston in the face.
Really?
Cameron had to be taken to a local hospital, says a witness. There was blood. There was screaming. It was a major scene. Apparently, Spencer Pratt kicked somebody's ass.
That is got to be so embarrassing that Cameron Houston hopes he dies.
Can you imagine getting your ass kicked by Spencer Pratt?
Not by him, no.
That's got to be horrible,
yeah.
Right?
Oh,
please tell me they filmed it for the show.
I don't know if there were cameras or not.
Be the first thing that happened on the show in a year.
Cameron's mom, Chica Houston.
Come on, Ralph. You're making this up.
I swear to you. C-I-C-A. It's probably Chica.
Okay.
Tells Star magazine, Spencer's attack was completely unprovoked. Apparently, Spencer was just standing up for the honor of his dumped sister, Stephanie.
Because he loves her that much.
That's
you know.
Right. Because he's so
It is funny because he does nothing but abuse her and treat her like garbage.
Sure, he can
show.
Do that, but if someone else treats her like garbage.
Exactly. That's what it is with family.
There is hell to be paid. All right, let's talk about the Oscar nominations this morning. Around 5:30, Forrest Whitaker looked at the teleprompter with one of his eyes.
Not sure which one.
We're not sure which one. And told us who was nominated for the Oscars this year. It is the 81st annual Oscar Awards will be on television on ABC on February the 22nd. Here are the biggest nominations, the Big Five, as they call them. Best Supporting Actor, Josh Brolin for his performance in Milk as Dan...
Quayle.
Dan Quayle.
Thank you, Mike.
Robert Downey Jr., he's nominated for Best Supporting Actor from Tropic Thunder as the dude who's playing a dude looks like another dude.
He was great.
He was amazing in that. Yeah. Rarely do you see comic performances rewarded so richly.
That's
so
true.
Philip Seymour Hoffman for his role in Doubt as the creepy, possibly pedophile priest. Michael Shannon for his role in Revolutionary Road. He plays a mental patient in that film, and apparently his performance is spectacular. I've not seen it yet. And Heath Ledger, as anticipated, nominated for his role as the Joker in The Dark Knight. I will be surprised if he does not win an Oscar.
Yeah, I will too.
In
sure.
February. Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams for Doubt, Penelope Cruz, Christina Barcelona, Viola Davis, also for Doubt, Tara G. P. Henson.
Yeah?
Yeah. Curious Case of Benjamin Button. Marissa Tomei for her role in The Wrestler. Best Actor, Frank Langella, Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Richard Jenkins for his role as the Visitor, in The Visitor, and Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. Best Actress, Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie, Changeling, Meryl Streep for Doubt, Kate Winslet for The Reader, and Melissa Leo, Frozen River. I think this might be Kate Winslet's year. I think she might actually win.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
And finally, Best Picture, Slumdog Millionaire got its nomination for Best Motion Picture, The Reader, Milk, Frost Nixon, and The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, rounding out your five nominees for Best Picture. So there you go.
Can we just officially, as a show, agree to say how bogus it is that The Dark Knight was not nominated for Best Picture?
Absolutely. They seem to not want to do anything that's popular.
If that wasn't one of the best movies of 2008, then I don't know what was.
Same with Iron Man, I thought. I thought that was great.
It was.
But they don't tend to like
both great
the
films.
Mass
However,
appeal.
I think this is one of those years where you'd be hard-pressed to take any of the five that are nominated and toss them out.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
What?
First of all.
Oh, come on.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Boring.
13 Oscar nominations today, Kevin.
Boring.
I mean, you can't argue with that. You can't argue with Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, Slumdog Millionaire. You can't argue with any of those. So they're all legitimate choices.
Just too many good movies.
That's what I'm saying.
Five,
it's not one of those
slots.
Years where there's one movie you're like, oh, come on, seriously? I think all five of those are worthy. So I hear you, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Today's celebrity birthdays, Ben Moody, formerly the guitarist of Evanescence. He is 28 years old today. Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven, she is 28. Give her a bell. There you go. Balthazar Getty turns 34. DJ Jazzy Jeff, who still, by the way, is employed by the Fresh Prince.
Is he?
Yeah. They still work together all the time. He's 44. Diane Lane is also 44 years old today. Linda Blair from The Exorcist is 50. And Steve Perry, former lead singer of Journey. Don't stop believing, Steve Perry. Anyone? Is this thing on? He's 60 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So they're going back to the island? They're not going back to the island?
They have to go back.
All of them?
But the thing is, how do you get all six of them to agree to go back? Because some of them don't want to go.
Well, can't you force them?
Like Hurley, he didn't want to go so badly. He doesn't trust Ben at all.
Right.
So he threw himself into the arms of the law. He's arrested. Now, how do they get him out of jail in order to get him back?
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at KROQ 106.7 KROQ. It's obvious from the talk that Lost returned last night on ABC with three big hours. I wish I would have had time to watch that one-hour recap show because it sounds like it would have been very useful before plunging into the two-hour season premiere. But we do have an expert standing by who will maybe answer some of our questions. She is the AOL TV West Coast editor, and you'll see her on the TV Guide channel. Lost expert Maggie Furlong joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Maggie, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Very good. Thank you.
So yes, the recap definitely would have helped you. I will say that.
Yeah, it was nice the first hour last night. They took all the main characters and sort of gave you their entire mythology from the first time you see them all the way through to what's happening now. So that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Maggie, we're not stupid people, but I will be honest when I tell you I feel like a stupid person when I realize how much I don't know and how much I can't keep track. It has been a long time since Lost has been on the air, though, right? I mean, I do have some defense.
It really has. And I mean, you feel stupid. They're calling me the Lost expert, and there were things that I'm like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah.
The recap was helpful for everyone because you forget that they're still bringing up things from season one and season two that have yet to be touched again.
So, everything but the smoke monster. Yeah.
Well, not yet, but we will see the smoke monster some more.
Oh, okay.
and the four-toed statue. So don't worry. They're,
four-toed statue. I love
excellent.
That. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so we've seen Lost has been a great show most of its run. It has definitely dipped in quality from time to time, but they've always done a great job with time travel. They've always done a great job with the flashbacks to kind of flesh out the backstory of the characters. They've always done a great job with jumping into the future to find out what happens. They did something new last night. Can you explain what's going on with the new form of time travel on the island?
I think the season opener with, you know, Marvin Candle putting on the record and then having it skip, I think that is basically telling us exactly what's going on with the time on the island.
I actually have that that clip I want to play for people.
The island. Think of the island like a record spinning on a turntable. Only now, that record is skipping. Whatever Ben Linus did down at the Orchid Station, I think it may have dislodged us.
Dislodged us from what?
Time.
So that's why our camp is gone. Because the island is moving through time?
Yeah, either the island is, or we are.
Okay, too many questions here, people.
It's pretty straightforward. What makes it move? What makes... when do we know and why is the bright light coming and the time shifts again?
We don't know that yet.
Randomly.
I guarantee you that we will find out through Daniel Faraday. The man is an evil genius.
Yes.
He knows everything.
He's got a journal full of notes he's made about the Dharma Initiative and the island. He knows more than anyone, probably.
Exactly. And the moment where, you know, they're trying to beat down Desmond's door because they know he's in the hatch, and Sawyer's trying to, he's like, you can't do that. It never happened. And then he does it, you realize that Daniel is more woven into the story than anyone else.
Yeah, he realizes that apparently Desmond does not play as key a role as the other members of the island, so he's the only one who can kind of travel in flux through time, right?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think some other people possibly can now, and we don't know it yet, or will have the ability to soon, the longer they stay on the island. I really do think it's an effect of the island, and I think the hints that they're kind of giving us with Charlotte and the nosebleed and things like that, remember, that's what Desmond got right when he first started getting his flashes.
I
think they're telling us that something's happening and it might not be too good for either one of them.
But remember, Desmond also traveled through time earlier in the series when we saw him trying to buy that wedding ring for Penelope, and he met that creepy lady dude who we saw last night as well.
Miss Hawking.
Yes.
Yes, you caught it.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. She is the one that wouldn't sell him the ring because she said, no, you know, your future is written. And
mm-hmm.
then, you remember, she predicted someone's death right in front of Desmond. Like,
right.
this guy, but I can't stop it. It makes me really sad for the future of Desmond and Penny, but I think we're going to get some really, really good Desmond and Penny time before anything too terrible happens to him.
Right. Okay, so again, in the broadest possible terms, for those of us who are trying to get back up to speed with Lost Season 5, there was a group of islanders, six of them, I guess, that got off the island that are now trying to get back onto the island to do what? What is the reason they all need to go back?
They've been saying it for seasons and seasons. Remember, Michael left and was like really depressed and trying to commit suicide and couldn't. They kept saying, the island won't let you. I mean, all of these things, they're like, if you leave, the island brought you to the island for a reason, so it won't let you go.
But wasn't
it?
Everyone's left behind, according to what Locke told Jack when he returned, is that they all died because those six weren't there.
But wasn't Ben in charge of the island, and didn't he start it skipping? So now why does he have to get them back together to go back to
save
people?
He had to move the island, Kevin, because Widmore was going to find it if he didn't.
Exactly. Remember, there's the whole war between Ben and Widmore as to who is the rightful owner of the island, but you have to remember that now John Locke is in that equation because John Locke has sort of been named the successor, the king of the island. So by the time Ben is off the island talking to Jack, Locke is supposedly still the leader on the island. Like, you have to remember there's two different timelines.
But Locke is dead.
Wow,
but
he's 3 years hence.
That's
3 years later, Kevin.
Yeah.
What you're seeing happening on the island is 3 years ago. What's happening on dry land is current.
I'm going to punch this show right in the face.
So simple. So simple.
Maggie, do we know how Locke died?
We don't know yet how Locke died. They said they're gonna tease it out a little bit longer, but we do know that they have to bring Locke's dead body back to the island with them.
Right. I'm expecting a resurrection when they do that.
And the butcher's supposed to keep it safe?
Yes.
Come on.
The butcher. All of Ben's minions around town. They'll all keep him safe.
Boy, do we sound like fools discussing the show. But they knew he had to die because Creepy Lived Forever, Richard,
told Locke in one of the time skips, look, I can't explain it to you. Here's a compass, but you're going to have to die.
What does it do? Point north. That was funny.
Yeah, it was great.
That's all
Point
I got,
north.
Though, out of that.
I know. I love it.
That's all I got.
Locke always thinks there's deeper meaning to everything. Right. Richard's like, snap right. out of it, dude.
We are talking to a Maggie Furlong, if you're just turning on the radio and wondering what the hell this conversation could be about. She is the AOL TV West Coast editor, and you'll see her on the TV Guide channel. We're talking about last night's Return of Lost. Now, Sun, who I love, by the way, was or was not one of the six that got off the island?
She was, yes.
Okay, she was.
She did get off the island. She's one of the six.
I'm having a little bit of trouble keeping up with her storyline because it doesn't seem to be involved in what the others are doing, and she seems vaguely evil this year so far. What's going on with her?
Yes, you should be very suspicious of Sun. God, you're so good. Sun is definitely sort of trying to play all angles. We saw her talking to Widmore, basically saying, I'll help you. I want to get back. I want to, you know.
She
takes
wants to
Ben down for
kill Ben,
my
right?
Husband.
Yeah,
exactly.
She blames Ben for her husband's death, right?
But I also think she blames Jack, and I think that's why she got in touch with Kate, because even though Kate is sort of in denial and not wanting to go to the island, let's face it, these guys that came to find her, I'm convinced that Ben has sent them to sort of freak Kate out. He knows that she's totally fight or flight, and that she'll say, oh my God, people are following me, they know, I'll go back too. Because Kate's been against it up until now, and I really think she's trying to go. And I think Sun's using her to get to Jack.
Interesting.
It looks like Sun was blaming Kate a little bit last night, too, until she sort of turned off the hostility. But she kind of said, you said everything was going to be fine. You were going to get my husband, and then you didn't.
Yeah, and then she sort of coldly said, oh, I don't blame you,
yeah,
Kate. Everything is a little... But you got to think about it. I mean, she was pregnant. She didn't know whose baby it was. She figured out it was Jim's, and then he died. That's really depressing.
And now she runs her father's corporation, too, so she could be caught up in this whole corporate war thing with Widmore.
And you remember her father, not the best guy in the world.
No, right.
Killing people. Who knows?
Maggie, forgive me if this is a dumb question, but why is it so important to keep the lie alive? What would be the downside if they were to come out and say, okay, we lied about that. There really were a bunch of people back home.
Well, I mean, what would you do if you were watching the news and you're like, oh, these plane crash survivors, and it's 3 years later, and what do you mean there are other survivors? And what do you mean you can't find them now, and there were monsters and polar bears? They would all be with Hurley in the mental institution.
Yeah. Plus, they're also protecting the people they left behind on the island, Bean, because they don't know that they could move the island. They didn't want the island to be discovered and for those people to be killed off the way Widmore's troops originally had planned.
And I'm still not totally convinced that Jack really took Locke's order. Because remember, it was Locke that said, you can't tell them. You can't tell anyone. If you leave,
right,
you've got to keep it secret. I don't think Jack was totally convinced that that's what he was doing until they saw the island disappear. And maybe he thinks, oh, well, who cares? No one will ever find him. And now he realizes he was wrong. So he's going to go try to fix that.
Are these Widmore people now with the flaming arrows, or is this a new group of people that they have to worry about on the island?
We don't know.
That was in the past.
Why was it raining flaming arrows? Why did that happen?
The flaming arrows were sort of an amazing, you know, don't forget, we can still kill people, and even though you don't know these people, they're dead, so deal with it.
Flaming arrows probably
were... I would say some form of the others. We know that it couldn't have been Dharma people, even though that was when they sort of flashed back a little bit. Because Dharma people are way too sophisticated to be shooting flaming arrows.
Yeah, that was pretty low-tech for Dharma Initiative folks.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that anybody you see now who's a castaway you've never seen before, it's like the red shirts on Star Trek.
It's totally red shirts.
Yeah,
absolutely red shirts. And they
what are you people talking about?
On Star Trek, whenever they introduce a new crew member that you'd never seen before, he was the guy who would get shot with a phaser in the first 5 minutes of the show and die. Anytime you see... Like,
what's the red shirt then?
They used to wear red shirts in their uniforms on Star Trek.
Oh,
so the guy who was in the raft whining about the fact that he was cold and hungry and everything, it's like, I've never seen this castaway before. He is so
he's
dead.
Die.
He's so dead.
I got
Frogert.
You.
Yeah, Frogert.
And he got it right in the chest with a flaming arrow.
Yep.
Isn't he the actor from the old Got Milk commercial? He was the Aaron Burr guy, if I remember correctly, if you recognize him from somewhere.
He was
the Aaron Burr guy. All right. I think they call this show Lost because that's how the viewers feel as they watch it. That's what I think. But it sounds like, Maggie, you have a great beat on this. When are you on TV talking about Lost so we can hear more of what you have to say?
I go on TV Guide every week, every Monday, on a show called TV Water Cooler. They replay it throughout the week, and the host of the show loves Lost. So we get into it. It's a lot of fun. And you can check everything else out on AOL TV. Full episodes, recaps, all that good stuff.
Oh, sounds great. You are going to be a very useful resource. I'm sure we're going to have many more questions for you, Maggie. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show today.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Yes, Lost.
Helpful, Kevin? Helpful?
Are we still talking?
So this time tomorrow, the hot chick in the blue dress from the Carl's Jr. commercial with the steak sandwiches is going to be here. That's what you're telling me.
That's correct, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a job we have where we can see someone on TV. In this case, Ralph fell in love with the girl in the Carl's Jr. commercial. We can see someone on TV and days later get to meet her.
Pretty thanks.
Sure.
What up, Kevin DeVine?
Oops, sorry. Time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That voice, of course, was the voice of one of our favorites, DeJuan.
What up, Kevin DeVine? It's DeJuan. Let's go out to the 90210 ladies. Yeah. You girls need to shake your booties. Shake your booty.
He's right.
Does DeJuan have impure thoughts while he's watching 90210
nope.
each week?
Okay. I don't think he's capable. I don't think he's capable.
Oh, he's definitely not capable.
This dude was looking at some pictures a little too closely on the internet.
Oh, my God. Has anybody Googled Megan Fox's thumb? Oh, my
gosh. Dude, we've talked about that. You're going to have to give her a pass on the thumb. She's fine.
Really? If everything else is fine but a thumb?
I think you can live with it.
Come on now.
Yeah.
How picky are we being?
You guys need to get on the radio and tell these bastards to take down their Christmas lights. I mean, for God's sakes, Christmas has been over almost a month.
A month.
Get your lazy asses out. Take down your Christmas lights. Pissed off at you guys now. Stupid, lazy bastards.
It's tough to make everybody happy, man. You put up your Christmas lights too early. Some people yell at you. Leave them up too long. People yell at you. What are you going to do?
Dude, it is the end of January, though. I mean, it is.
Those people are keeping them on for the whole year. Come on.
Yeah, if you take them down now, Kevin, you just got to turn around
take
and put it right back
down.
Out.
Favorite movie ever?
One of Kevin's people. Very impressive.
Celebrities sometimes call.
Hi, this is Khloe Kardashian. Swear to God, you guys keep making fun of me. It's not funny. Who's that guy who's always making my voice? I do not sound like that. You guys could suck my... Uh-oh.
See, because... It might be a little late to mock Ralph about his football team. Since he can't talk about it anymore.
Right.
Due to the bet, but...
I'm calling just to cheer you up because in case the Eagles die, I want you to look towards something positive in the year of 2009. You never have to talk to Sustainable Dave ever again in your life. The bit is dead. The comedy that never was is gone. The joke is over. Put him and the entire bit in the dumpster with a big smile. So finally, one more time. Sustainable Dave.
As I think back on 2008, it is now shocking to me that we talked to him 12 times. It really is.
Let's call him again. Just to check in.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I got good news and bad news. The bad news is it's raining. But the good news is it's not chocolate rain.
What?
Thump-a-thump-a-thump-a-thump.
I don't know what he's referring to. Do you guys?
Chocolate.
I'm terrified of what he's referring to.
Yeah.
Obama, there is a man. Obama is his name. He became president. Now you're F if you're white.
I don't think that's very accurate.
No, that's
is it true?
Yeah.
Dude, the first thing he signed when he became president is F all the white people. That's what he said.
That's a bill?
Yep.
I didn't realize that.
Finally, our president has the largest in the universe.
I guess if that's what you're looking for, fantastic.
Sure, why not?
323-520-AFRO. You can call 24 hours a day on any book. I know that I don't have what some people would consider good taste. I'm aware of that.
Paul Blart, what do you mean?
Which people would?
I know my shortcomings when it comes to that. I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, A Curious Case of Benjamin Button bored me to tears.
It's Kevin Beach on KROQ 106.7 KROQ. We've been discussing off-air all day long Kevin's disgust with Benjamin Button being nominated for 13 Academy Awards. By the way, most nominated film in history 14. Okay, Benjamin Button,
yeah.
13, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor. You didn't care for it.
I can see that I'm wrong.
Really?
Like, sometimes you can see, like, oh, yeah, that song's great, but I just don't like it. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you could tell the movie was done by somebody who knows what they were doing.
Artistically, that it's a really good movie.
Looks good, sounds good, great, you know, cinematography.
Interesting story?
No, but the interesting story is the boring part, because he's born. Here, let me just play the beginning of the.
My name is Benjamin Button, and I was born under unusual circumstances. While everybody else was aging, I was getting younger, all alone.
Okay, so that's it. Bum.
Now you've seen the whole movie?
He was born old, then he gets young. All alone. Okay, now those words are repeated, not in word form, but in every single scene. Look at that. He's getting a little older. Everybody's getting a little younger. Or the other way around. He's getting a little younger. Everybody's getting a little older. And then the next scene, he sure is getting a little younger. Everybody sure is getting a little older.
Doesn't anything happen to him?
Not in time for me to, before I fell asleep.
By the way, if you want to weigh in on the Benjamin Button debate, if you either agree with Kevin that it's horribly overrated or you thought it was fantastic, can't wait to own it on DVD, you can call right now. Either way, 1-800-520-1067. I didn't see the movie. I'm not allowed to go to the movies anymore because now I have puppies. But is it as slow as the trailer makes it sound?
Yep.
Is it at that pace, the whole film?
Yeah, it is. And yes is the answer. I mean, I think that's why I was bored. And sometimes I feel like I'm 100% right, and sometimes I feel wrong, but I can't do anything about it.
Right.
It looked good.
Well, it was,
but it was
3 hours, too, which is a long time.
For a slow-moving movie.
Yeah.
That where the same thing happens over and over again.
That seems to be Brad Pitt's thing. Did you remember the Jesse James movie that he did?
Yes, which I loved, by the way.
Saw that. He was good. There was no acting.
You would hate it. You would hate that movie.
There was no acting problems. There was nothing wrong with the script except for it repeated too much. I don't know. It just seemed like it was just, I'd seen it and I'm tired and.
Well, again, I haven't seen it, but I'm still so pissed that The Dark Knight wasn't nominated for Best Picture that I'd be happy to give one of Benjamin Button's nominations away to that. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they got 13, right?
Yeah, because because The Dark Knight was a fantastic movie from start to finish.
Can we negotiate with the Oscars? I mean, is that done?
I don't think you have that power.
Give two back, and then we'll... No?
No, I don't think so.
You know, it's weird because Benjamin Button, if you remember, was nominated for and won none at the Golden Globes. But for some reason, the Oscars are just all about it. All right, let's take a couple of calls real quick. We don't have much time. Ralph is going to be here with the Showbiz Beat and all the other Oscar nominations for us in just a minute. Let's start with Stacey in North Hollywood. She is on line 7 this morning. Is Kevin all by himself on thinking that Benjamin Button is overrated? Stacey, what do you think?
Absolutely not.
It was long, right?
I thought it was totally long. And you know what? I went to an 11 o'clock showing, so I didn't even get out of there until 2.
Wow.
Don't you think that can affect your experience, though? If you are tired when you go into the movie theater, that can definitely
affect your
experience.
If you're tired when you go into this one, you might slip into a coma. That's what I'm telling you.
I definitely thought it was way too long. And at first, I thought it was the length of the movie and that I went at night. But you know what? I talked to a lot of other people as well that just weren't up there with it.
Maybe it's just, interesting. Maybe it's just that my attention span and yours, Stacey, is shorter than most. Maybe
it
that's what it was.
I guess it could be. I don't know. I love Cate Blanchett. I love Brad Pitt. I just wasn't that impressed with it.
Yeah.
There are a lot of movies, by the way, including some big Oscar winners in the past that are three-hour movies that are still great. I mean, it's certainly possible to hold one's attention for
Absolutely.
That long with the right material.
Yeah. Absolutely.
This is not that material.
Not this one. Okay.
Not for me.
Thank you for the call. Let's talk to Jeremiah in Simi Valley. He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Jeremiah, what about Benjamin Button?
I have to totally disagree. I thought it was a good movie. There was a lot that happened to the character Benjamin Button.
You know what happened?
According to Kevin, not much.
No. You know what happened? I can explain it all in one quick sentence. He got younger and everybody else got older. That was weird.
But
that's it.
No, it is.
That's all that happened.
Okay,
but Kevin,
about...
that's like going to see Star Wars and going, yeah, and then the next scene, they're still in space. Oh, look at that. Here they go again. Oh, there's another scene. Guess what? Still in space.
But I gotta disagree because, I mean, the funniest part I thought of the movie was is when he first has sex. He's an old man, and even though he's in his, like, early teens, you know, and the woman's like, oh my god, I can't keep going, and sure enough, he keeps going on with her. I mean,
yeah, I didn't get to that part. I was so sleepy by then.
That's, like, right there in, like, the first
45 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Kevin was great.
I didn't see that part.
He's out there sleeping around, and he's hooking up with some married woman, and then, you know, of course, yeah, then there's the whole love story between him and Kate Blanchett. And
you know what? She sure is getting older, and he sure is getting younger. Yeah. I tell you that.
Kevin, Jeremiah is right. Jeremiah, let me ask you this question. Oscar nominations today. Do you think, you know, I don't know how much you go to the movies, but was Benjamin Button one of the five best movies you saw in 2008?
No, sorry. Iron Man and Dark Knight.
That's what I thought.
That's
both
what
of
we're
those.
Talking about.
I thought I both mean, of those were
believe
the best.
Me, I mean, I'm hands down happy that I hope Heath Ledger wins his
me too.
Oscar nomination. I mean, he got it for Golden Globe. I hope he gets it for the Oscar. And, you know, but, yeah, I mean, I just got to say, you know, I'm kind of disappointed Dark Knight wasn't there for the nomination.
I think they automatically lately sort of discount movies that are hugely mass appeal movies. I think they just...
I didn't like that
movie. And it doesn't mean they can't be good.
Right.
Which one didn't you like, Lisa?
I didn't like Dark Knight. Well, I love Heath Ledger. Didn't like Dark Knight. I thought it was way too long.
Well, Jeremiah, thank you for calling. Lisa May, you are fired. I'm sorry. We can't continue to work with somebody like that. So wait, everybody else gets older, he gets younger?
That's correct. That happens.
Oh, now I got it. I didn't get that first time.
That's all that happens. That's the only thing that happens in that movie. There's no other story. There's no love story between him and Kate Blanchett. There's nothing else. There's just that.
Zipping all over the world, getting involved in war.
It's not about the history of America in conjunction with him seeing things through younger eyes. It's none of that.
I'm just saying.
None of it. It's just him getting younger. It's one static shot. It's a camera on a tripod with a dude getting younger. That's the 3 hours. Movie.
I'm glad you agree.
7:56 of the Kevin DeBeat Show. Highlights of last night's bad auditions from American Idol coming up after news. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What's going on?
Inexplicably, Benjamin Button got 13 Oscar nominations, considering how horrible it is, yet still somehow it eked out 13 nominations as the Oscar nominations were announced this morning. Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk the Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire nominated for Best Picture of the Year.
I'm so happy about that one.
Oh. Wow.
I'll try to carry on. Best actress was Anne Hathaway for Rachel Getting Married, Angelina Jolie for The Changeling, Melissa Leo for Frozen River, Meryl Streep for Doubt, and Kate Winslet nominated for The Reader. Will this be Kate Winslet's year? Will she finally win the Oscar? I say no.
You say no?
Okay. I think Meryl Streep for Doubt. That's my prediction.
That's a tough race.
Best actor, Frank Langella for Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt for Benjamin Button, Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler, and Richard Jenkins for The Visitor. He's the dark horse there. Best supporting actress, Amy Adams, Doubt, Penelope Cruz, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Viola Davis for Doubt, Tara G. Benson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler. Best supporting actor, Josh Brolin for Milk, Robert Downey Jr. for his hilarious turn in Tropic Thunder, Philip Seymour Hoffman for Doubt, Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight, and Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road. There are just some of the Oscar nominations.
Oh, so they did see The Dark Knight. Some of the Academy members did go see the movie?
I like The Dark Knight a lot. I think you may be overselling the case a tad bit with The Dark Knight.
What about Iron Man?
I think Iron Man was a better film than The Dark Knight was.
I do too, but...
But a little too enjoyable and populist, I think, for
the
Oscars.
See, that's the problem, and that bugs me.
Yeah, it is sort of a drag when that happens.
Has to be tiny, no one has to have seen it, and then they'll nominate it.
Well, I don't know if no one has seen Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk.
Well, no one's sat through the whole thing.
Oh, how dare you. Not everyone's thrilled with Slumdog Millionaire, by the way.
Hey!
You know who's not happy with it?
Who?
The Slumdogs.
Why?
Oh.
What?
Big, big protests in Mumbai.
Hey.
Several dozen slum residents were protesting the film outside Kapoor's, who is the producer of the film, one of the stars of the film, mm-hmm. Anil Kapoor, outside of his home, people protesting.
Why?
Because they think the phrase slumdog is an insult.
And if I recall correctly from the timeline, that movie has just opened in India, so that's why it's now outraging people, right?
But yeah, it is an insult. That's the point.
I am poor, but don't call me a slumdog. Said some of the residents, screaming out loud. Yeah. I don't want to be referred to as a dog. Other protesters held up signs reading, poverty for sale. I am not a dog. Slumdog is offensive, say some of the members of the Mumbai slum in which the film takes place.
But Lisa's right. It's kind of used that way.
They are trying to insult him.
In a slight on those people. That's what the people
saying
it did.
Well, they don't like it.
Well, I'm saying the movie's not trying to say that's good.
They're just saying that's what they face by being that poor. It's just like the controversy over Towelhead last year. Exact same controversy.
Screenwriter Simon Beaufoy says that people shouldn't read too much into the word. I made the word up, he said. I liked the idea. I didn't mean to offend anyone. Children from the slums are actually called much worse names.
Like?
Maybe you should use those.
But apparently some Mumbai residents objecting to Slumdog.
Okie dokie.
And this is the most hideous story I've ever read.
Wow.
And I think I'm going to get a posse together and hunt these people down.
Okay.
According to the Daily Mail, which is a British tabloid, so take it with a grain of salt, John Travolta is allegedly being extorted for millions of dollars by a pair of men who are threatening to release a photo of a dying Jet Travolta
unless the actor
pays up.
No.
Reportedly, they've got a photo of Travolta trying to revive Jet Travolta, 16 years old, of course, his son who died on January 2nd, trying to revive him with CPR while waiting for paramedics to arrive.
So my question to you is that bad?
The photograph apparently also have photographs of Jet in the hospital. These photos were apparently taken with a cell phone, and they are saying if you do not pay us...
Wow.
According to this story, several millions of dollars, they are going to release the photo to the press.
Are they outside of the U.S. jurisdiction?
Yes. Apparently, the extortionists made their demands clear to Travolta, who contacted his lawyers, who then flew to the Bahamas. Apparently, that's where these men are, to meet with these extortionists. And police are trying to hunt them down and capture them. The Bahamian politicians and officials there apparently working in concert with Travolta's lawyers trying to apprehend these guys. But Mr. Travolta is cooperating fully, says a local police source from the Bahamas. The investigation is at an early stage. But if it is true, that is one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard.
Here's a message for those who try to extort Mr. Travolta.
You, and definitely you.
I would just like to hunt them down, like the slum dogs that they are.
Oh, Ralph.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Oh, what? Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Perry from Journey. That wheel in the sky just keeps on turning, doesn't it?
Sure does.
Mm. He's 60 years old. Linda Blair, who, of course, was famously in The Exorcist, playing the little girl Reagan, who got possessed by the devil and threw up pea soup on everybody.
That was nice.
Great film. 50 years old. Diane Lane turns 44. She's a good-looking 44. DJ Jazzy Jeff turns 44 as well. Balthazar Getty turns 34. Singer Willa Ford is 28. Beverly Mitchell from Seventh Heaven is 28. And guitarist Ben Moody, formerly of Evanescence, is 28 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I know there was 11 hours of Lost on last night, Kevin, but did you have any time at all to check out American Idol auditions from Louisville, Kentucky?
I don't really ever have time for that.
Oh, it was so... I watched some of it, too.
It's a good thing you did.
Great.
I have no interest.
If you only had one channel and American Idol was on it, would you just turn off the TV?
Yeah,
you just turn off the TV. Okay. It's worse to you than nothing, is what you're saying.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people agree with you, but of course, millions more watched the show last night. They were in Louisville, Kentucky. Did not do very well. I think they only let through like 10 or something like that out of the 11,000 people that showed up. And just like the night before, there was the very first contestant is one who has nothing but supreme confidence. And we haven't talked about this much this season, but there are a lot of people out there who maybe perhaps get too much support from their parents.
Yeah.
And Tiffany is one of those people whose parents just think she's the greatest singer in the world, and they do nothing but tell her that. And clearly, it's gone to her head, and she believes it regardless of what anybody else says. But she does promise to have a good attitude, even if she doesn't get put through by the judges.
If the judges say no to me, I'll still walk out with a positive attitude, positive outlook.
So, why American Idol?
Because I think I have a great voice, and I think I would be great for the show. So when you feel like hope is gone.
Let me know when you recognize what song she's singing, by the way. Okay. What huge number one record she's attempting to sing here with her great voice.
Look inside you and be strong, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies in you.
Is that, what? Was that Mariah Carey? Was she on the show?
She's attempting to no, she was attempting to do Mariah Carey's Hero there. Oh. And her parents said she's just like she's a singing rainbow. I don't remember what it was they said, but they couldn't have loved her anymore.
Wow.
Well, let's see how her promise to maintain that good attitude, whether she gets put through or not, holds up after she is rejected and not sent to Hollywood.
I could sing better than lots of the people that were on American Idol. I don't care what they say about my singing. I'm never going to give up.
This is the next American Idol.
It's a chance to sing.
Listen to her mom. Oh, this is the next American Idol.
Oh, what an idiot.
Let's encourage that.
Look, here's the thing. There are a lot of people that get up like they win an Oscar or something and go, look, this is proof that your dreams. Some people should give up their dreams.
Of course. That's right.
That girl's never going to be a singer. Don't hold on to hope for that. Give it up.
Tiff, your dreams are not going to come true. At least she sang a Mariah Carey song. I don't know what was going on with Mark Mudd, who stopped by in Louisville. And I don't know what show he thought he was auditioning for, but this George Jones hit from the 1950s is not going to put him through.
Well, in North Carolina, way back in the hills, lived my old pappy and he had him a steel. He burr wild line until the sun went down, then he fill him a jug and he passed it around. Mighty, mighty pleasing, perhaps
car squeezing. He didn't get advanced to Hollywood.
They didn't like him?
Shocking.
This guy was kind of creepy, too, though. He had those eyes that look at you, and you just know he's thinking bad thoughts.
Yeah, they look right through you.
Yeah, he's a little bit dangerous, and there was a little bit of remark as he walked out of the room that I think gave the judges some cause for concern.
Sorry, Mark. Good looking out, dog. Thanks for coming out, baby.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
Take care and be careful.
All right, so he says, take care and be careful. Would that strike you as weird coming from a dude?
When you see what the dude looks like, yes.
Yeah, I would think so. I think that would be correct.
Plus, you just ruined his dreams.
Yes. Yeah.
Be careful?
Yeah.
Be careful.
Be careful on whatever you do.
What?
Huh? I'm
just saying, be careful on whatever you do.
Okay.
That was a threat.
What's that mean?
That's a threat.
Be careful in whatever you do. It almost sounds like, hey, have someone else start your car when you're gone, right?
Yeah.
Still try to explain it away.
I'm just saying, just be careful, you know.
Well, you know, you don't say that to people. You don't say that to people, be careful. That's just not a normal thing to say.
He was just saying.
That's true.
I think he was really saying, take care. Really?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with him.
Probably.
He's
all right, here's
good.
Here's the beautiful Irene, again, just like with the Mariah Carey song. Just jump in whenever you can figure out what song it is she's singing. I'll give you a hint. It's one of the most famous and most covered and beloved songs of the 20th century. So it's definitely a song you know.
Right.
Just ring in, players, when you think you know what she's trying to sing here.
Well, troubles melt like lemon drops. Away above the chimney tops. That's
anyone?
No.
You got it so far? Okay.
I know.
No idea.
You find me somewhere over the rainbow.
There it is. Somewhere over the rainbow is what she was attempting to sing there.
Oh, God.
That was somewhere over the rainbow.
It was supposed to be.
No,
yeah.
It was not, actually.
They should have dart guns and just put them down and drag them out.
I don't even know what song Obianuju is trying to sing here. Maybe you guys do.
Oh, they can me believe that you could be.
I don't know, really.
The chipmunks do the hits.
She sounds like Glenda the Good Witch.
Yeah, she does.
Here's Aaron, a very enthusiastic contestant from American Idol last night.
Okay, what's your name, please?
My name is Aaron Williamson. I'm from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, and why are you here?
I'm here to be the America's Next Top Idol.
Okay. Aaron is going to be America's Next Top Idol. He has trouble with some of the details and things he comes to talk about.
America's Next Top
Next
Idol.
Next Top Model, yeah.
Top Idol.
What are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing Creedence and Clearwater's revival, Have You Ever Seen the Rain?
Wow.
All right. Okay. Creedence and Clearwater's revival. Mm-hmm. You know that with Have You Ever Seen the Rain. He's kind of mellow, a little mellower than you might expect from a guy like him.
I want to know. Coming down on a sunny day, yeah.
There was a lot of shouting.
Was that
Kara? That was Kara, the other judge.
It was Kara. Oh, she was singing with
him? She's the fourth judge, singing along. I think she got into it. He got into his enthusiasm, but he was not.
It sounded angry to me.
It did. All right, here's one more. This is Rebecca from last night's AI in Louisville.
Right now, he's probably slow dancing with a bleached blonde tramp, and she's probably getting frisky.
All right, so she's doing a top 10 pop hit from Carrie Underwood, you'll recall. Before He Cheats is the song she's doing. Not good, but one of the weirdest things that I've ever seen happen on the show happened last night between her and Kara, the new judge.
I dug my keys into the side of his pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive.
Wait a minute. She was voted most humorous in high school. This is all starting to make sense. That was good. Funny. But that wasn't supposed to.
Are you saying this was a joke?
Yeah. Wasn't it?
Was it?
No.
Rebecca?
No.
Look at me.
No? Oh, boy. It did say voted most humorous.
Rebecca, sweetheart, you know what?
Sorry, sweetie.
Don't get too upset here.
Oh, they thought it was a joke. They thought her audition was a gag.
It was.
Dude, she started crying like crazy right there in front of the judges.
We need like psychiatrists standing by for those people.
She thought it was a joke.
Well,
she thought the whole thing was a gag, like a comedy performance, and she was out there singing her heart out trying to make it to Hollywood. They crushed her.
Yeah.
They crushed her.
Good for them.
So, if you want to see kids get their dreams crushed, American Idol is for you.
All right, now I'm on board.
By the way, tomorrow morning in the 7 o'clock hour, the hot chick in the blue dress from the Carl's Jr. commercial is going to be coming in.
What do you got there, dude?
Excuse me. You okay?
I'm just eating.
Yeah. Got something in your throat?
Yeah, you do.
I'm dying here. Tamara Brown, the actress and model, is going to be joining us at the 7 o'clock hour. I'm going to go die. Kevin, explain why we need to help this K-Rock listener.
Well, I know it's going to be difficult to tell from this clip because we hid our opinions so well. But this guy called last week and wanted to know what he should do if his friend's mom hit on him. What should he do?
Okay.
All right.
So here's the call. And again, we'll have to explain afterwards what our opinion is.
Yeah, dude. So I went out with like some friends and this chick's mom was like kind of flirting with me and coming on to me, dude. And she was like, she's pretty hot.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what you guys think I should do.
Hit it.
How close are you to this friend?
She's like a friend of a friend.
I mean, if you're not going to be screwing up a relationship with a close guy friend, then don't even worry about it. Just go for it, dude.
Yeah, but I don't know. She's like kind of twice my age, It's kind of weird.
Don't worry about it, dude.
I was just wondering.
Hit it.
Unless she's got teeth down there, you'll be fine.
You're over 18, right?
Yeah.
All right. Our answer stands.
Yep.
There you go.
So relationships, ruining relationships.
Well, definitely if it's a friend of a friend. I would like to do a little research, and this is a little off topic, but I would guess that woman wasn't hitting on him. I bet.
But we're going to assume for the sake of this conversation that she was.
What should you do if your friend's mom comes on to you? And in this particular case, by the way, it was a friend of a friend.
Yeah,
it wasn't a friend.
Totally. You're with friend you on that. Friend. Absolutely.
Okay, so if it's a friend of a friend, you hit it. What if it's a friend?
Depends on how good a friend.
And Depends on how hot the mom is.
And how hot the mom is.
Right. And what the chances are the friend's going to find out.
Well, you have to assume the chances are 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you're going to sleep with a friend's mom, that stuff doesn't tend to stay hidden very long.
Right.
Someone says something.
So I think what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067 is the voice of experience. We want to know what you did when your friend's mom hit on you and how it turned out, because maybe that's what's required here. Maybe it's a little experience.
Now, it is, and I know you're going to mock me for this, but it is different if it's a friend's dad hitting on a girl.
That's creepy.
Yes. Okay. So let's leave that out. Okay. We'll say a guy and a friend's mom.
Okay.
A guy and a friend's mom. And it can be a guy friend. And it can be a girlfriend,
right?
But not a girlfriend,
right?
If you're in a relationship with a person, probably shouldn't,
right? Because you're in a relationship.
An unequivocal, probably not.
you might want to break up with the girlfriend before you hit the mom.
Is there an exception? And I can't believe I'm even going to ask this, but I have to. Is there an exception if you get the mother-daughter threesome going?
Oh.
Well, an exception? What do you mean?
Would that be allowed? Would that be okay?
You mean you tried to your girlfriend and said, "Hey, I think your mom wants me. Want to join?"
Yeah, them? Because that you're not hiding anything from the girlfriend, and you're just spicing things up.
That's a long shot, dude. That's a real long shot. I mean,
it is.
I think 99% of the time you ruin everything by doing that.
Of course.
But I saw a movie one time where it worked out well for everybody. Everybody seemed very happy.
Your friend's mom hit on you.
And you really, really think she hit on you. Just not dudes going, hey, man, she was into me. She was into me. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take.
Guess you should have hit that when you had the chance.
That's what we're talking about. It could be a limited time offer. If your friend's mom is hitting on you, you know, you got to consider strike while the iron is hot, right?
I don't think that's going to happen very often is the point. So right. Maybe you should take advantage of it, and then you'll always have a story, even though you're down a friend.
All right. We tried to help a K-Rock listener who called a few days ago. Now we're getting the voice of experience from you on the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with James in Riverside. He's on line 7 on the Kevin Bean Show. Now, again, everyone we're going to talk to has had this experience. They've had the mom hit on them. Let's find out what they did and what the fallout was. Hi, James. What's your story?
I was about 17 years old, and I had a really good friend. His name's Sean. I won't give a last name.
Mm-hmm.
And, she started hitting on me, so I taxed it.
Yes.
I did.
And?
I had
and did and he did find you... out about it?
Yeah, he found out about it. He actually, I cut school, so me and Mom were in the bed. And
wow.
He came home early, and so I jumped out and went in the back.
You're hiding from your friend
in his house.
Yeah,
and you, did you lose your friend because of that? Did you lose your friend because of that?
Well, what happened was he went in the house. He knew something was up, and I threw my pants on, but I left my.
Okay, but beyond all of that, did you lose your friend because you were tapping his mom?
No, he said head or gut. So I told him gut. He hit me in the gut, and he kind of yelled at his mom for a while. And.
Okay, so he said, pick where you want to be hit, and then you said,
sorry,
gut.
Sean.
All right. Sorry, Sean.
And then you were square. Okay.
All right, good.
Thanks for
I like
call.
How guys settle things.
If she's hot enough, maybe it's worth, you know, the gut punch. Who knows?
All right, let's try Nate in Westminster on line 3. Hi, Nate. Thanks for holding on. What's your story?
Oh, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Nate.
Friend's mom hit on you.
Yeah. Well, long story short, we were hanging out, a bunch of buddies, and we used to hang out at this particular friend's house because his mom was pretty cool.
And by cool, you mean hot.
Yeah, she was hot.
All right.
She was cool. And so everybody, you know, passes out, and it's just her and I still up. And so she's like, you know, my shoulders are kind of sore and everything. And so I was like, all right, well, I start rubbing her shoulders, and she takes her shirt off. And she's like, you know, we'll lay down on the floor. And I start rubbing her shoulders in. And next thing that happens is I end up picking her up and taking her to her bedroom and, you know, did our thing.
Did what you had to do.
Yeah. Okay.
Was it a one-time thing?
What's that?
Was it a one-time deal?
Yeah, it was a one-time deal.
Did your friend ever find out about it?
I honestly don't know. I've kind of lost contact with him over the years.
What's his name?
His name's Kurt.
Last name?
Roberts.
Kurt Roberts? Your mom banged Nate.
Now you know.
That is a bad way to find something out right there.
But, well, the thing about it, too, is since the years have gone by, I found out that he actually, I have a sister that's a year younger than me, and he slept with my sister at some point.
Oh, wow.
You are quite the crew.
Wow. It's the Jerry Springer Show. Come to life.
Thank you for the call. All right, let's try Jason in Northridge on line 2. Your friend's mom hit on you. What did you do, and what was the after effects? Jason, go ahead.
What's up, guys?
Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, we had Christmas dinner at her house. It was my girlfriend's best friend.
Your girlfriend's best friend, okay.
Her mom got us drunk with wine and started doing the whole under-the-table thing with the foot.
Yeah.
The daughter saw, so she just kept feeding her daughter wine, so her daughter passed out. And she didn't let me and my friend drive home. We had to stay in her bed.
Right.
And about 15 minutes later, she just walks in naked. Just like that.
Yeah, but you knew that was going to happen when she said, you can't drive home. You have to stay in my bed.
Yeah, we were drunk. We were 19, and it was great.
Right.
Okay. All right, so you hit that, and then what happened afterwards with you and your friend?
Oh, afterwards, man, she freaked out and started crying and started going, you guys probably think I'm the biggest slut. And we were just looking at each other like, yeah.
Yes, we do. Did your friend ever find out, your girlfriend?
I don't know, honestly, because we had a falling out.
What's her name?
She had two sides.
what's her name?
Huh?
What's her name?
I can't say. She's right now.
Damn it. All right. Thank you, Jason.
By the way, I'd like to point out that no regrets so far with all of the stories of all the people who hit their friends' moms. There's not one of them who said, I shouldn't have done it. It was a bad idea.
That's true.
Keep this in mind, all right?
Let's go to Rick in North Hollywood. Good morning, Rick.
Morning. How you doing today?
Your friend's mom.
Yeah, I was
over at my ex-girlfriend's house.
Now, wait a minute. She was your ex-girlfriend when you were there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was my ex-girlfriend's house. I had just gotten back from basic training from joining the service.
Mm-hmm.
And we were over there hanging out, a bunch of friends. And, you know, me and my ex were kind of, we were cordial, you know, with nothing.
Okay.
Don't need any of this backstory at all, by the way. None of it.
All right. But then your mom, then her mom.
Yeah. So went inside to go get a beer, and her mom pulled me aside and started talking to me. And, you know, she's pretty hot. So one thing led to another. And while everyone's in the backyard partying, I'm in the back room hitting his mom, hitting her mom.
All right, you're in the front yard partying. If you have
well, we haven't established that yet.
All right, so what happened after you guys were done? Did your friend ever find out about it?
She did, and she was pissed, but, you know, that was cool with me because, like I said, she was my ex.
Right.
If she's your ex-girlfriend at the time, yeah. I mean, you,
yeah,
I
there's
mean,
no question.
You pretty much, you owe it to the rest of society to do that and you know, tell the story.
Of course.
All right.
Yeah, you did the right thing.
Thanks.
Thank you. We don't have any people who said that. Well, let's go to James, who said that it was a bad idea or it turned out poorly. James in West Hills. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Beans. Lisa May.
Good morning.
You were partying. If I could speed your story up just a bit, you were partying and you passed out and then you woke up and
me, him, and his mom were at the Red Onion. There was a bunch of us there, but we were at the Red Onion drinking and we all got drunk. And I took her home to their apartment and slept with her.
You took
and
her
left
home?
At the Red Onion.
Okay, good.
Yeah, well, that is important. Okay,
glad you established that. Yeah. All right, was it a one-time deal?
Yeah, it was a one-time deal.
And was there any kind of fallout, positive or negative, after you guys slept together?
It's not something we ever talked about, but I know he knows. I mean, he had to have
What's
known.
His name?
His name's Joel.
Joel what?
But I don't think it's... I have a feeling it's not the first time that's happened. She was kind of a...
She's a goer.
But there's another time. It actually happened to me twice. There was another time I was at another friend of mine's house, and we were all partying, and I passed out on his couch, and when I woke up in the middle of the night, his mom was doing a little service for me.
That's what I thought was going to be your story, and that's why... What?
That was the second time. It's happened to me twice.
This happened to you with two different friends' moms?
Yes.
Hmm.
Hmm.
I'm dead serious.
Shaky.
I'm being dead serious.
Wow.
Okay. I'm being dead serious.
Shows you the type of friends I have.
Yes, it does. I'd like to get to know them.
Yeah.
All right, James. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, guess...
Six
thumbs up from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Absolutely.
Like make that happen and let us know. You got all over you there, Ralph. What's happening over there? Ralph came in soaked head to toe.
Yeah.
What are you doing out there, Ralph?
What's happening?
Oh, come on.
Yes.
Oh, Kevin says you can't say that now.
You can't. Kevin has decided it's not a thing to say.
I found out you can't.
On a broadcast. Really, because you thought it was funny to say that.
It was when I said it.
Congratulations to Christine Barnier from Monrovia. She just picked up the brand new CD from U2, Ahead of When You Can Buy It. It comes out in March. And she's qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday. More importantly, to perhaps send her to London to see U2 on the Brit Awards. It's K-Rock's World Tour. 2009 destination number one. Your chance to qualify is coming up right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Thursday morning. What's going on?
Oscar.
Hey, La Jolla.
That's what everyone's talking about. The Academy Award nominations were released this morning at 5:30 a.m. Here's a quick rundown of who's been nominated for what. Best Motion Picture, Curious Case of Benjamin Button. An outstanding film.
That's what Kevin was saying.
Not as good as some others.
Frost Nixon, Milk, The Reader, and Slumdog Millionaire. Best Actor, Richard Jenkins for The Visitor, Frank Langella for Frost Nixon, Sean Penn for Milk, Brad Pitt for Benjamin Button. This is called BB. CC of BB. Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler. Best Actress, Anne Hathaway, Rachel Getting Married. I don't know anyone who's seen that film.
Neither.
Me.
You've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
I know one
really
person
good.
Who's seen that movie. Angelina Jolie, The Changeling. Melissa Leo, Frozen River. Okay, I really know no one who has seen
Never
Frozen River.
Never heard of
River.
That movie.
I wanted
officially.
To go see it, just did not get around to it, but I hear it was great.
Meryl Streep for Doubt and Kate Winslet, The Reader. Talk about a boring movie.
Just reads.
Broad just sits down with a book for 2.5 hours.
Good.
To herself, by the way, not even out loud. You
really?
Watch her just turn the pages. Occasionally she'll mouth a few words, but nothing.
Can't tell.
Nothing.
Mm.
But at least she's aging in the right direction.
That's correct.
Best Supporting Actor, Josh Brolin for Milk. Robert Downey Jr. for his hilarious turn in Tropic Thunder. Philip
Seymour Hoffman for Doubt, Heath Ledger for The Dark Knight, and Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road. Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams, also for Doubt. Viola Davis, also for Doubt. Penelope Cruz, Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Tara G. Henson for The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, and Marissa Tomei for The Wrestler. Those are your bigger nominations. Of course, yesterday the Razzies came out, which are the Golden Raspberry Awards, the opposite of the Oscars. The Razzies given away for the worst performances and productions in film this year. Kim Kardashian was nominated for her role in Disaster Movie. She doesn't understand.
She doesn't get it?
She doesn't get it.
Oh.
I'm having a really good laugh over the fact I've been nominated for a Razzie this year, she says on her blog. I had so much fun filming Disaster Movie and giggled the entire time during the shoot. I bet that wasn't annoying.
Yeah.
There is steep competition in my Worst Supporting Actress category, I have to admit, including my fantastic co-star Carmen Electra. You go, girl. Lily Sobieski, what a surprise. Jenny McCarthy, really? And Paris Hilton, who could technically sweep this year's awards with whopping 3 nominations. It's an honor just to be nominated. Kim, no, you don't get to make fun of yourself.
She's trying to be funny?
When we're telling you you're horrible.
Does she know it's not a compliment?
I'm not sure. Spencer Pratt beat somebody up. Nope.com
is right.
Apparently he ran into his sister's ex-boyfriend, Cameron Houston, at the Coco DeVille Lounge in West Hollywood on January the 17th. Apparently it was a bad breakup, and he thought that Cameron disrespected his sister, Stephanie. And after 10 minutes and a shouting argument, Spencer lost it and punched him in the face, according to onlookers.
This is insane.
Cameron had to be taken to a local hospital. A witness tells Star Tabloid, there was blood, there was screaming. It was a major scene. Cameron's mom, Chica Houston, tells the Star, Spencer's attack was completely unprovoked. So, we'll be following this closely.
Please arrest him for some sort of assault and please send him to jail.
How about that?
There's got to be more
than
that story.
Sent to a hospital. There must have been pretty severe assault, right? Should do some time. He should do
la 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 la.
Today's celebrity birthdays: guitarist Ben Moody, formerly of Evanescence, he is 28 years old today. Beverly Mitchell turns 28 as well. Willa Ford, also 28. Ooh. A lot of 28s this year. Balthazar Getty's 34 years old today. Jazzy Jeff of DJ and the Fresh Prince and Diane Lane both turned 44. Linda Blair from The Exorcist is 50, and Steve Perry, lead singer for the classic rock band Journey, turned 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to our special guest, Miss Maggie Furlong, for joining us today. She knows stuff about Lost, working for AOL-TV. Do you feel any better after our conversation, Kevin? You feel like we're a little more caught up than we were?
No, you feel better after seeing the doctor.
A little.
She certainly seemed to understand a lot more of what the hell's going on with that show than I did, but we look forward to talking to her.
I had way too many of those I-should-know-what-that-mean moments. And for me, that's saying
something.
I mean,
whole
a
life?
Lot of those, yes, but Lost particularly, I was like, wow, that makes sense to someone somewhere.
I just sense Kevin walks out to the parking lot after the show and goes, I should recognize my car. Then he finally finds his car and he goes, what do I do now? Is something to do with a key?
I should remember how to drive.
How dare you? You guys remember when I got in my car and drove home during the show, right?
Sure do.
Accidentally. Yeah. Tomorrow morning, we have Tamara Brown on the program. So whatever with this afternoon at 5, don't listen. We don't care. But tomorrow morning.
All that matters is tomorrow.
That's
tomorrow and tomorrow.
That's tomorrow.
What if she's a bitch, Ralph?
That just isn't possible.
What if they hire her because she's cute and she's fine in that 30-second commercial?
She comes in and she's just an awful person.
You can tell by the way she's talking to him that she is just adorable. And she says, thanks.
She does say thanks.
In such a cute way, you know she's just a doll. You know she's adorable.
She seems like it. I mean, I want her to be awesome. I think she should be awesome.
Thanks.
I guess we'll find out tomorrow when she shows up with Carl's Jr. steak sandwiches.
That's what she said.
Wrong one. Sorry.
All right. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including Use Somebody, the latest from Kings of Leon, also the Smashing Pumpkins, MGMT, Foo Fighters, and more next on K-Rock.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
Hey, quick reminder, by the way, if you love this clip like we do.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
It is back up and available for you for download for free on the front page of KROQ.com. So maybe if you want to hear the Hot Cheetos Kids every time your phone rings, for instance, it's an outstanding opportunity for you to get that and put it on your phone again. Just go to the front page of KROQ.com. It's available for a limited time only.
There's a place on Craigslist called Rants,
mm-hmm.
and there's some good stuff on there. And we don't highlight it enough. And
okay.
So we'd like to read a few Craigslist items.
What's the deal with Rants? What are these people thinking? They just have something that is burning them up. They have to express it, and the internet is free, and they can put it up there and hope somebody reads it?
And maybe they've exhausted their friends and family. They just don't want to hear it anymore, and they're not done ranting.
Like this one. The headline is, Found Briefcase with Odd Items. So they don't really know who to talk to, so they put it in Craigslist. Large silver briefcase, metal, no locks. Odd items include a 14-inch length of plastic tube, a solid rod of plastic about 20 inches long and a little under 1.5 inches in diameter, several tubes of KY jelly.
Okay.
Don't ask me.
Lisa, have you lost the briefcase?
He says, don't ask me. I just found it. Here's the really odd thing. There were 5 gerbils in a plastic container with breather holes in it.
Tell me that's not true.
I put them in a mouse cage with some shredded wood chips, water, and food. Respond to this ad so I can return your stuff. If no response within a week, I'll give the gerbils to the animal shelter and turn the rest of the stuff over to the sheriff's department. Thanks.
Don't give that person back the gerbils.
No. That's... I wish I hadn't heard that. I wish there was a way I could scrub that from my mind.
Oh, there's more. Necrophiliac seeking corpse. Is the headline out of Montreal? Seeking a tall, well-muscled insomniac to indulge a very particular fantasy. I would like to see you lie motionless on a green and cream chintz bedspread, face up, wearing only your plaid boxer shorts with your arms crossed over your chest like a corpse in an open casket funeral. You will sleep like a cat, and I will watch you, ignore you, go out for coffee, or possibly photograph you with my BlackBerry. When you awaken, we will watch low-quality American television and eat coconut sorbet.
He's got a very specific date plan, doesn't he?
No kidding.
To the guy doing my wife. Out of Omaha. To the guy doing my wife, you know who you are. Yes, I know. No, I'm not angry. I would just ask a few things of you. After all, you are giving it to my wife. Number one, please stop leaving the seat up. I keep getting blamed for it. It's starting to get old.
Okay.
Number two, please stop drinking all of my beer. It's fine if you have a couple while you visit. And then in parentheses, he writes, God knows I drink plenty before I find her attractive.
Oh.
But please leave me a few as I have to be there longer than you.
Oh, my. He's very understanding.
3, 4, and 5, not funny. 6, please don't tell my children that you're their uncle. They're not mentally challenged. 9, stop eating the baked goods. The brownies you ate were from my mom for my birthday. My wife has not cooked anything that good for years, and if she does, I will not share. Lastly, I would like to thank you for taking her to lunch on Valentine's Day. She was not hungry as usual and only ordered one meal. I may be able to use the money I saved to take the children to a movie. I hope you can help me with these items. It may become awkward if I have to confront her. If you can do this for me, I will give you the heads up when I'll be gone and for how long so you won't feel rushed.
Wow, that's a nice relationship. Very
nice.
Two are starting.
Is that for real, do you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
He does end it with some specifics. P.S., I am going to take the kids to the Great Wolf Lodge on the 3rd of April for 4 days. I have a bottle of vodka above the fridge if you find yourself low on beer. That seems more specific than it would be if it wasn't real.
That's funny.
And finally, the headline out of Los Angeles. The girl who took a dip in the Art Institute parking lot.
Oh no.
Kevin.
I mean, come on. It was like 50 paces to the nearest restroom. I sat there in my car wondering what the hell you were up to. You spent at least 2 minutes. By the way, this is a man for a woman.
Oh, okay.
I know you wouldn't think that
by
the story. I sat there in my car wondering what the hell you were up to. You spent at least 2 minutes scurrying around your parked car looking to see if the coast was clear. I thought you were going to, like, break into someone else's car or something. Then I guess you thought you were, quote, safe and hurried to the front of your car near the third level stairwell, dropped your pants, and went to it.
So he's watching her. She doesn't think anyone can see. She does her business in the parking lot. Now he's putting it up on the internet to basically chastise her for it.
For Christ's sakes, woman, all the time you spent looking out for passing cars so no one would see you like a dog in public, you could have hustled your lazy ass downstairs into the building and used the restroom. P.S. If you're free later, drop me a line. I was never more turned on in my life.
Oh, no.
This is finally the best reason, the best, most solid justification I've heard for the internet.
I don't know if you guys saw it yesterday, but Barack Obama was sworn in again as president of the United States.
He was sworn in again?
Again, yeah. A lot of people were questioning because they kind of botched the oath on Tuesday that John Roberts, the Chief Justice, and he kind of got out of sync a little bit with reading the way it was supposed to be written.
It seemed to me like the Supreme Court Justice is the one that got it wrong. Like,
he did.
He was leading Barack down the wrong path.
Yeah. Exactly. So then there were some who said, well, maybe it's not really legal, so to be on the safe side, we better swear him in again. So he had him out to the White House yesterday. They did the whole ceremony again, except now people are saying, I don't know, that White House photo that they released, there's no Bible in the shot, so maybe he's still not president, they're trying to say.
But didn't you say even before they swore him in, he was actually already
yes,
president?
Yes, you don't even have to, technically.
You don't have to do it.
You don't even have to take the oath, exactly. Okay. But it's just people who are trying to cause trouble. But everybody's still talking about this big week in America, the inauguration of President Obama, including our friend Bob Dylan, who is on the phone, of course, the host of the Theme Time Radio Hour satellite radio show. Hey, Bob, how are you, man? Bob?
What does that mean? In the good time, lemonade, theme time, sausage hour.
Theme time, radio hour. Am I right that you are also talking about the new administration on your show this week?
Yeah, this week's theme is imagination.
Imagination?
No, inauguration.
Amalgamation?
Inauguration.
Strangulation.
The inauguration.
Of course. Yeah, we're talking about the inauguration.
Wait, if you could be understood, why don't you talk that way all the time?
What do you mean? That's right. Talk all the time.
You haven't made any sense since 1970.
That's not true. Even the happy time, much of time theme, we all get nervous. I'm songs and play the song that's on the home songs and get long time team.
I don't understand what you're saying.
I think what Bob is trying to tell us and our listeners who haven't heard his radio show is that he does music that is all connected via a certain theme, and this week all the songs have to do with presidential inauguration.
Beats to the change of time.
Beats to the change of time.
Beats to the change of time.
Beats with Jane DuPont.
V.
B.
V.
B.
V.
V.
No, V.
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 V. C.
V.
V. I said V.
My country tis of the.
My country
tis
of the.
Okay, all right.
The.
Second word.
Peaceful. Charades on the phone.
Jesus.
Peaceful.
People.
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Pizza.
Peaceful.
Peaceful.
Peaceful. Peaceful.
The. Peaceful.
The peaceful.
Exchange
of power.
Yeah.
Exchange of power. Okay, all right, that's what you're about.
You didn't even say half of that. You're lucky Bean came up with it.
No, and our first song is this one.
Old Neil Diamond song.
Why is Bob singing along with this song? Okay, all right, so you played Neil Diamond. We got that.
Yeah, America. Yeah. It's America.
America.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this song, too.
Yeah, whatever. This is my United States.
Yeah.
All right.
Kind of appropriate, I guess.
Hey, Bob.
Hmm?
If you were to not sing along, we could hear the lyrics a little.
Oh.
Yeah.
You.
Oh, I heard that.
All right, sorry.
This song. She's in my head. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Love.
Uh-huh. She's in my head.
Yeah. Right,
that song is not about America.
Who's saying it?
President of the United States of America. Not, it's very weakly tied in.
It is. Obama.
That makes sense.
But Bob. Bob, no one can understand you.
All right, Bob, we got it. We got it. Yeah, it's Obama. That's his name, right?
Yeah. And then...
What?
Yeah, Barack the Amadeus.
Come on.
Barack the Amadeus.
Come on.
The Rock me am a dance. The Rock.
Bob, it might be time for you to hang it up.
You.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
We got a winner. Somebody just won the brand new U2 CD called No Line on the Horizon, coming out in March. Of course, you've been hearing the first song here on K-Rock, that song about putting your boots on. We've been playing that. Anyway, the winner is qualified for the grand prize drawing we do Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show to maybe go see U2 in London at the Brit Awards. Your chance to win coming up Wednesday afternoon. Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Just last week, Amy Winehouse told reporters that she has no intention of divorcing her husband.
Right.
What?
However, she did add, and I'm not kidding, she does plan on having fun while the old man's in the clink.
Asshole.
And apparently she meant it. She is still living in her temporary home at that resort in St. Lucia.
That's Bahamas?
That's Bahamas.
Yeah. They have to be
miserable.
Oh, how tired are they of her?
She's been there like a month.
Crawling around.
Ready for her to leave.
Stealing drinks from people's tables.
Oh, my God.
But she has a new boyfriend.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about Josh Bowman, the former rugby player, the good-looking, clean-cut guy she was palling around with earlier. She's got a new boyfriend there on the island.
Okay.
Okay.
He is also clean-cut, handsome, and wealthy, just like Josh.
So what's he doing with her, then?
Just can't resist her. She's so beautiful.
Man.
She's so charming. And she can outspit any woman on the island.
That's true.
She can hock a loogie like nobody's business. Apparently, she's made a lot of friends on the island, however, because she's very generous as a host at the hotel bar.
Ah, she buys drinks?
The other night, in buying drinks for herself, her immediate party, and everyone else at the bar, she racked up a tab of, wait for it, $14,000.
Ah! How's that possible?
That is Kevin Ryder type bar spending.
It is.
That is his kind.
I don't think I've ever spent $14,000 in one night.
As far as you know, you don't know what you spend.
That's
true.
Except in the champagne room.
You just hand over a credit card, and then the wife gets the bill at the end of the month.
$14,000 in one night.
Yeah.
That's a lot of alcohol.
Must have been bottles and bottles of Dom or Cristal or something like that. She must have been buying champagne.
She's going to go through all her money really fast.
She hasn't already.
I don't know how she hasn't already.
I know.
Yeah, she's not exactly out there touring to make up the money, and sales have got to dropped off. Have dropped off on that album.
Got to be. Another in our cavalcade of winners, Denise Richards, apparently upset. She's got her reality TV show, you know.
Yeah, it's a bad one.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
Terrible show.
That's not a good show.
And she recently took the cameras from E's Entertainment Network to the Sundance Film Festival while she visited there. Okay. So they could get footage of her hobnobbing with lots of her Hollywood-type friends. However, no one would agree to go on camera with her. The final straw was she was given a polite thanks, but no thanks, by Pierce Brosnan, her former co-star in the James Bond movie.
Ouch.
When she invited him to appear on the show, he said,
not so much.
I thought that show was canceled.
Well, apparently they're still...
Wow.
How embarrassing that they went all the way there, you know, promising celebs and all that, and then they couldn't do it.
And they have shots of her walking in the snow, pretty much. That's about it.
Wow.
When is modern science going to find a cure for a woman's mouth?
Good question. Earlier this morning, the Razzie nominations were released. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, the Golden Raspberry Award is the answer to the Oscars, whereas the Oscars celebrate the best in motion pictures, the Razzies talk about the worst in films. And this year, here are some of your nominees. For Worst Motion Picture, Disaster Movie was nominated, along with The Happening from M. Night Shyamalan, The Hottie and the Naughty, In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale, The Love Guru, and Meet the Spartans, rounding out your
That is a lot of bad right there, and I saw most of them.
Director Uwe Boll had quite the year. He's nominated for Worst Director for three different films. 1968, Tunnel Rats. Missed that one. In the Name of the King, a dungeon siege tale, and The Postal.
Now, Ralph, refresh my memory. Isn't Mr. Boll the guy we had on, the director who wanted to box critics of his films?
Yeah, he will fight any critic who doesn't like his movies.
Okay.
Which I think will turn the critics right around.
Right around, yeah. Hit him in the face a couple times, they'll like your movie.
The directors for Meet the Spartans and Disaster Movie were also nominated. Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer. Tom Putnam, who directed The Hottie and the Naughty. Marco Schnabel, who directed The Love Guru. Like, that's his real name. You know, his name's like Fred Smith or something. And he saw the film and said, could you put my name on this as Marco Schnabel, please?
A.K.A.
And M. Night Shyamalan for The Happening. Well deserved. Worst actor, Larry the Cable Guy. for Witless Protection, Eddie Murphy for Meet Dave, Mike Myers for The Love Guru, Mark Wahlberg for The Happening, and Max Payne, Say Hello to Your Mother, and Al Pacino for 88 Minutes and Righteous Kill, which I think is unfair.
That's ridiculous.
Because I thought both those films were not his greatest work, but both were completely watchable, and he was pretty good in both.
He's always fine.
Except for his hair in 88 Minutes was out of control.
Kind
of
crazy, yeah.
Al needs a groom.
He does.
He needs to be groomed.
Take him to a vet.
Worst actress, come on, clip his nails and shampoo him. Jessica Alba for her role in The Eye and in Love Guru. It's a twofer there.
Remember The Eye, where she got the donation of somebody else's eye, and then
it was an evil eye.
It was an evil eye, so she became evil.
She started seeing things. Cameron Diaz for What Happens in Vegas. Paris Hilton for The Hottie and the Naughty. Kate Hudson for Fool's Gold and My Best Friend's Girl.
Woo-hoo.
And the entire cast of The Women, Annette Bening, Eva Mendes, Deborah Messing, Jada Pinkett Smith, and Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, some of those women are good actresses. Annette Bening is good. Jada Pinkett is good. In this movie, I thought, what happened to them?
Really?
They were just so awful.
Why'd you see it?
They were as bad as the movie.
Why did you see it?
It's the law.
I was completely out of
stuff. It is the
law.
You have a uterus, you have to see The Women.
Didn't know that.
It's the law.
Well, it's a great cast, and it's a remake of a fantastic movie. Who would have ever expected it would be as bad as it was?
Not that bad. I never thought that.
Saw it in the trailer.
Kevin could tell from the trailer it was bad.
Yes, Love Guru Boy.
And that's saying something.
And I don't have taste at all.
From Paul Blart, Radio Cop over there. Worst actor supporting, Uwe Boll. His role in his own film, Uwe Boll's Postal. He's put his own name as director on these films now. That's what's the best part.
Yeah, that is good.
From the man who brought you a dungeon siege tale comes Postal, Uwe Boll's Postal. Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia was also nominated. Ben Kingsley for his work in The Love Guru, War Incorporated, and The Whackness. Burt Reynolds for Deal and In the Name of the King. Vern Troyer for Love Guru and Uwe Boll's Postal. Vern Troyer was in that as
well.
Wow. Or supporting actress Carmen Electra for Disaster Movie and Meet the Spartans. Paris Hilton for Repo, the Genetic Opera. I did a little research on that because we talked about it this morning. We didn't know really what that was. It apparently is a high-end, high-concept comedy about people who pay for organ transplants. And if they cannot fulfill the terms of their loan arrangement with the
they
company,
take them
they
back.
Repossess their organs.
Yes. Awesome. That sounds like it could be good, if in the right hands.
Kim Kardashian for Disaster Movie, McCarthy for Witless Protection, and Lily Sobieski for 88 Minutes, and In the Name of the King, a Dungeon Siege Tale.
Good year for her.
That one seems to have tainted everyone in Hollywood.
Yeah. So there are your nominees, some of the nominees for the Razzies this year.
So does this mean if Razzies are today, that first thing tomorrow morning, Ralph, we'll have Oscar nominations to look at?
That's how it works. Tomorrow morning we'll know who's nominated for what in the Oscars, so tune in tomorrow morning at the Showbiz Beat, and I will give you all the latest and greatest in Oscar news. I'm imagining Heath Ledger's name will be there for supporting actor.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Gina Davis turns 53 today. Kat Power turns 37. And the littlest Spice, Emma Bunton, Baby Spice from the Spice Girls. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
I think she about to pull something out of her pants.
Oh, I don't think that's likely
not
at all.
Baby Spice.
Come on.
I want to thank our friend Clipper Darrell for keeping the faith all these years for his team. Of course, the Clippers are in action tonight against the Lakers at 7:30, and you can see Clipper Darrell's website and his awesome Clippers car at clipperdarrell.com.
Don't forget, Lost is on tonight as well. Tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to TV Guide West Coast editor Maggie Furlong about that program, try to figure out what's going on it.
Okay.
See, this is great. I'm glad we're thinking ahead because generally we watch Lost and we come in the next day and we're going like, what did we just see? I'm so confused. Now we've got somebody we can ask those questions of.
Also tomorrow morning, what do you do if your friend's mom hits on you?
Nail it.
Nail it is the answer.
Yeah.
And we've got some more highlights from American Idol tomorrow morning.
Yay.
Don't you remember? We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
She did not get put through to Hollywood, by the way.
Shocking.
We need to talk to people who have tried out for American Idol and who know they're that bad. Because I think most of those people, I mean, they can't really hear a good song, can they? Do you think they all, like...
Think they're good?
Like, they can't.
I don't know. I can't. You watch these people. You can't imagine what makes them go down and wait in line for all those hours for their 30 seconds in front of the judge. When they sound like that, they have to know they're bad.
I think for some people, it is just the 30 seconds. They want someone to pay attention to them.
No for any reason.
Good, bad, or indifferent. They want famous people from the television that they've seen to have to look at them and acknowledge them
but
as human beings.
But they don't think, I should be making this.
Some
I should win.
Some of them do, though.
Yeah, a few. I would say a few do. But
I think some are just, it's a desperate cry for attention. They have to go down there and be noticed.
Tatiana from last night's show, is that what's going on with you?
Wow.
Thank you.
60 minutes of zero commercials with Nicole Alvarez coming up next, including Metallica, also the latest from Weezer. We got Killers, Bad Religion, and more next after this on K-Rock.